The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
PFW in Progress.
We've been coming to the same party for 12 years now, and in no way is that depressing.
With Fred Kirsch.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books, and my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Paul Perillo.
I'm all about having fun. You know, get a couple of cocktails in me, start a fire in someone's kitchen, maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off. Anyway, I become kind of famous for my signature catchphrase.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And Andy. And Andy?
The only way to bag a classy lady is to give her two tickets to the gun show and see if she likes the goods.
Just doing my workout. Oh, it's a deep burn. Oh, so deep.
Andy Hart.
I'm the stylish one of the group.
I know what you're asking yourself, and the answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon. But I also nickname my testes. My left one is
Quinn.
And my right one?
Mendenhall.
You ladies play your cards right, you just might get to meet the whole gang.
Eric Scalavino.
Veronica and I are trying this new fad called jogging. I believe it's jogging or yogging. It might be a soft J.
For now, anyway.
You are pathetic. This has to be the feeblest pickup attempt that I have ever encountered. You have a massive erection.
Really? Yes, I do. I'm sorry. It's the pleats.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight.
Skyrockets in flight.
Boo!
Afternoon delight.
Whoop!
Afternoon delight.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress, and as I speak, I'm watching ESPN, where I see Robert Kraft showing up for the negotiations or
Kraft mediation. And Mayo let's go mediations.
Together. Yep.
What's the matter? You about to sneeze?
I was about to sneeze, but I stopped.
What does forced mediation exactly mean?
You can lead a horse
to your head.
Mediate. It means you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink.
But do you actually? Bert Breer walking with D. Morris Smith. Is it like you have to answer whatever the mediator asks, or do you have to do what the mediator says?
That's
or?
A good question. I mean, other than making you sit at a table, what is other thing,
running
what else
there?
Is forced? Yeah.
Right.
I don't know.
Certainly a conclusion isn't forced.
Right.
Right. But, I mean, could they just sit there and neither side really say anything? No. I don't want to. No.
Yeah. No. I don't know. Well, we'll see. Webradio@patriot.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the way to call us in this very special off-season edition of PFW in Progress. The gang's all here. Andy, Paul, Eric, Jake Steele, and Kevin in the booth.
Unbuttoning again on the shirt there, yeah. See?
I noticed the guy from Walpole who does the MMA training emailed me again and wants me to train. I'm going to do it.
Wait, as a result of the push-up contest?
Yeah. And I'm thinking if I get good at it, I might fight crime in my spare time.
The mean streets of Rentham?
I might.
Are you going to wear a costume? Are you going to wear your singlet?
I'm thinking about an alter ego.
Bring the singlet back?
Maybe.
Well, Jake Steele is your alter
that
ego.
Could be. Yeah, Jake Steele.
Then you could. Well, the Man of Steel is already kind of taken.
Yeah.
So.
But I might.
You need a new
nickname. Fight crime in my off time.
I'm over here now.
Anyway.
That was on last night. The Coon
was it?
Too.
Everybody's a buzz.
Oh, two?
And no
There's
one can
two?
Figure out why on earth the Patriots would spend time interviewing Jake Locker. So maybe that's something we can talk about today, because I don't think it's such a big deal as everyone's saying it
Who
is.
Can't figure it out?
People I'm reading.
Oh.
You know, Jeff Howe, guy named Jeff Howe.
don't make fun of Gordy. Gordy has been on Patriots.com
okay.
radio.
But, you know, and other people like, this just doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense. It's not like Tebow. Doesn't
I don't
make
know.
Sense.
How many times do we have to tell people that the visits don't necessarily indicate a direct interest in drafting that particular player.
That's right.
We've said it 8 million times, and people still don't get it.
It could be a teammate of theirs. It could be someone in that conference that they play against. It could be just getting information.
Due diligence.
I mean, if you're interested in a few guys on a team, who better to talk to than the person who's in charge of them on the field? Their quarterback, you know?
Yeah, I don't think that's this.
It probably not be, this case.
But there's a lot of reasons other than we want to draft Jake Locker.
Right.
You know?
You have a certain amount of criteria you want for each player. Let's say at the combine, at the Senior Bowl, whatever, you didn't get enough of it. And you say, you know what, we just want to make sure about this guy, so let's bring him in and talk
what
to
if
him,
you
fill
think,
in the blanks.
What if you think your intelligence says that the Bills might draft him? Well, it doesn't hurt to talk to this guy that you might be playing against in
well,
the near future.
My theory is that they're doing it because they think there's going to be interest in Jake Locker at 28, 33 in that area, and they want to gauge what other teams are seeing and maybe what they can get for the guy.
What they can get for the guy?
If he's very impressive in an interview, whatever, maybe you now say, you know what, this is a franchise quarterback. If you want my 28th pick to get a franchise quarterback, it's going to cost a little bit more than the little trade value chart says.
That's right.
Yep.
So now I've raised his
his profile.
Every quarterback that gets taken before 17 or 28 helps the Patriots because they're not in that market.
Oh, absolutely.
You know? So it drops people to them that they are interested.
Can't wait with the 17th pick and the New England Patriots like Jake Locker, quarterback.
You know,
I think there's zero chance.
Will we get a Paul like I resign? A Seymour like I resign from Paul, I mean?
No, I'd be stunned.
I resign.
Yeah, I'd be stunned.
I can't be possibly any more stunned than I would be if they had took a quarterback at 17.
Or 28.
Or 28 is right, yeah.
So
yeah, I agree.
So again, let's just, you know, calm down a little bit. Tom Brady is not being replaced in the next year or two. There's a lot of reasons why you talk to a
year or two. He just signed the richest deal ever for 4 years.
Well, no, if you're drafting a guy, if you're drafting a quarterback at 17, that's what's going to happen. So that's why that's not going to happen. That's why they're not going to draft a quarterback at 17. Tom Brady has a fairly long term. What is he have? Another 4 years?
I just
2014 is when his deal comes up. Yeah,
and I think
4 years at the richest in history.
Right.
At the moment.
So you know, come on. Let's
and sort of.
Let's think about this before we start jumping to conclusions.
However, though,
we're scratching our head like, why would they do that?
However, let's just say, sake of argument. They make a trade, they get another team's first-round pick next year, and that first-round pick ends up being the number one overall pick.
Now, and that's different.
And let's say that Andrew Luck is still considered the consensus number one overall pick.
Right.
Well, what do you do?
I think now we're a year closer to when Brady is going to retire, and now I have to start thinking seriously about it.
About taking Andrew Luck?
About taking Andrew Luck and overall replacing Tom Brady at some point. You know, every year that goes by, you have to start getting more serious about that.
And would you be more likely to take that player knowing that there would most likely be a rookie cap in place so that you're not paying him the guaranteed 30 or 40 or 50 million?
To me, that's not even an issue.
Not at all?
Not if I'm replacing Tom Brady. No, it's not an issue to me. The money isn't important because this is, you know.
Well, because if it weren't in place, then you'd be paying the richest contract
$40 million
exactly.
Or something.
Right. No, I mean, the guy that I draft first is the guy who I think is going to replace Tom Brady. It has nothing to do with money. I think this guy can play, and I think he can, may not be Tom Brady, but he can be our franchise quarterback. You know, so money is not an issue at that point.
Okay.
To me.
All right.
I agree with you.
Paul's agreeing. So,
that's where it should be, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you really think that he's that good,
right?
You need to get him,
right? But you know, it gets down, and Eric just got to it, to the larger issue of at what point do the Patriots start thinking really hard about who are we going to groom to be the next guy? And I, you know, people will say, well, you could get him now and he could sit around for 4 years.
I'm not for that.
I do not want that.
Four years? No.
Yeah, the guy's 22 now. He's going to be 26 before he starts. No, I don't want that. I want, you know, the days of that are gone. I want a guy, if not the first year, starting the second year.
Especially if you get a guy who's as competitive as Brady was. And you saw in the Brady 6 thing, he was telling his former teammates, less than a year into his career here, that he was going to beat out the current guy who had signed a multi-million dollar contract.
Right.
If you have a guy like that that you're drafting and you're asking him, I want you to sit around for 4 years and wait. If he's that competitive, he's going to say, the hell with you. I'm going to try to beat him out now.
And that's okay. I mean, I want my
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, but you expect him to sit around and wait.
Right.
He's not going to want to sit around and wait.
But let's not confuse the issue. They did not draft Tom Brady with the idea of he's going to beat out Drew Bledsoe.
Oh, no.
They might have thought that a year later.
No, they didn't.
Well, no, but even.
They wouldn't assign Damon Hewitt to be the backup if they thought Brady was that good.
But by training camp, Belichick said he had played better
by
than
the
Bledsoe
end of his second training
in preseason.
Camp. Yes. Right. His second training camp.
Better than Hewitt.
Better than Hewitt, and that he had played better than.
He said.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. He said that in the documentary.
I have no doubt what he said 11 years later.
No,
at
the time
when we asked him the question, he said no. At the time, he said no. I'm talking about what he said, not what we think he said. He said no.
I'm just saying in the documentary.
You know, he lies to fit his
11
needs
years
at the time.
Later, he may have changed his opinion.
In the Brady
6,
he said, you know, honestly, he had played better than Bledsoe in preseason. Mm.
And, Paul, you're saying at the time he
didn't
said
say
the opposite?
That then. No.
But,
right.
But that's
but
not
wouldn't.
To be confused with them ever thinking when they drafted him in 2000 that this guy was going to replace.
Right.
They did not draft him to replace Drew Bledsoe or to even groom him Drew Bledsoe.
And what I really agree with your premise too, Freddie, is about drafting the heir apparent, if you can't do it saying I'm going to draft him and then 4 years from now.
You cannot.
That might work out. I mean, it worked out for Aaron Rodgers. He waited 3 years, right? That wasn't the plan.
No.
And it sort of worked. It didn't work out perfectly for Green Bay because that's the other side of it. You may be pushing Tom Brady out.
Right.
Which could cause
friction.
Distraction, whatever.
It worked. But that's not the way they wanted it to work.
Or could just cause you to put, you know, if Aaron Rodgers wasn't as good as he is, people would have said, wait a minute, Favre led the Vikings to the title game. Maybe we should have kept Favre. Now, they didn't because they picked the right guy.
Right.
But if you force Brady out and the guy you think is good isn't as good as he is and Brady goes somewhere else and wins,
right,
that's another issue that you've created.
Which makes that scenario, number one, is difficult. Now, the catch-22 that you get into is if you wait until there is a discernible drop-off in Brady's play before you start thinking about it. Now, okay, let's just say 3 years from now, suddenly Brady is a 17-touchdown, 13-interception guy. Okay, you know, like Drew was his last year as a starter. Okay, we got to do something about this. Well, are we in position to get Andrew Luck next year?
That's right.
Is there an Andrew Luck?
Right.
Is
it's all about timing.
An Andrew Luck?
It's all about timing. Ideally, you want to get the guy you think is going to be the heir apparent.
What you have
with
to really
one year
hope
left,
for.
Brady plays his year. He retires. The other guy takes over. But that's rare that timing can be that perfect.
Right. What you have to
you also
hope
have
for.
To get Brady to retire right when you want him to.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, later, Joe Montana and Steve Young, people, that was a smooth transition. Yeah, but.
No, it wasn't.
No, it wasn't.
Well, I was going to say.
It was a mess.
People think, looking back, well, Young stepped in, they won a Super Bowl, but Montana went to Kansas City, there was a lot of bad blood there.
And Young stepped in and won a Super Bowl like 5 years later.
What was
the
it? That
the
far,
monkey.
Yeah. That's right. He had to get the monkey off his back. Right.
It's not going to work out perfectly.
There's no blueprint way to
there's
do
like
it.
Zero chance.
There's so many variables.
Yeah.
And the Packers also lucked out with Rodgers in that he didn't create a stink when Favre kept coming back. He could have been one of these petulant guys who just starts complaining in the media, trying to create a debate among. He kept his cool to his credit, didn't make waves at least publicly, and was rewarded eventually, and it worked out for them. So that in itself is rare too, I think.
Yeah. But, you know, how old is Rodgers now? 20?
Late 20s, I guess.
Oh, he's not 29.
I don't think he's that late 20s. But probably
he had to wait
27, maybe.
26 or 27.
Okay.
Something
3
like that.
3 years, I think he waited, right?
Yeah.
So he didn't start playing.
He came out of Cal early, didn't he?
So he didn't start playing until he was 24, and he's been now the starter for 2 years? Or 3?
3 years.
Yeah, so he's 27, 28. Okay, that's not too bad. But, you know, we're talking about, you know, sitting around 4 years. I don't want my guy to start being my starter when he's 25 years old.
But the bigger issue is the right guy. If he's a year too early, a year too late, you got to get the right guy.
Right.
You can deal with the year, the timing, the issue, whatever. The issue is they have Aaron Rodgers for the next decade. They picked the right guy.
I don't think there are a lot. I mean, I know we especially in the media, we throw the reasons why a guy failed a lot. You know, and they become sort of law. Well, you can't rush the guy. Or you can't. There is examples of all kinds of different ways of doing things.
Right.
I don't know how many guys have failed specifically because they were thrown to the fire too quickly.
Right.
And I'm not saying that there aren't any of those right. guys. Yeah, but, I think, personally, Andy, David Carr is a guy that got beat to hell mm-hmm. as a rookie on an expansion team. Now, maybe he just flat out could never have done it under any circumstances. Who knows? But I think that's too easy to say.
Right.
This guy failed because he got thrown into. Like, I don't think Alex Smith would be great if he had 2 years right. to wait. And then, you know, maybe if they didn't have a different offensive system for him to learn every year, he might have been yeah. helped. But I think it's too easy to just say, well, they threw him out there so quickly.
And Sam Bradford found a fail. They threw him out there, and, you know, he got beat up a little bit. But I think that he learned a lot and got mm-hmm. through that fire, and he's going to be better for it.
Mm-hmm. I think it's what Andy said. If the guy can play, if you made the right choice. Doesn't matter what you do, yeah. he's going to be okay. Because yeah. the guy's talent's going to win out.
I don't think the Dolphins waited on Dan Marino, did they? You got him right
no,
out there.
No, you got right no, out right? there. Yeah.
You know, so.
Super Bowl year, too.
Yeah, it's all about the guy. And there is no one way to do it. So, but I certainly don't want the guy who I think is my next starting quarterback to wait around 4 years. I don't want that.
Can I make an off-topic request?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Does that have to do with food?
No.
Oh.
Although, where is the food? Kobe Bryant got fined $100,000 yesterday for using a gay
derogatory
slur.
Derogatory term.
Called it, a ref.
Yeah.
Yep.
Does anybody know what the slur was? And I know yeah. I know we can't say it on the air.
It was FAG.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. How do you know that?
Now, the shortened version or the length?
On the radio.
Okay.
The short
and
version.
I read it as well.
But the full or the short? Those three letters?
Oh, I'm not sure. I mean, those were the three letters I read.
I think he used the full word.
I think he did too. I think that.
And there might have been a word in
watching
front of
it and
too.
Seeing that. Yeah, there might have been. Yeah. That begins with an F as well.
Right. Right. So.
Okay.
What did he do to the other guy on the bench? Did he?
Because you can watch. He starts.
Well, he tried to like bang the chair, and the guy was kind of trying to calm him down. I think he hit. The
I
guy.
Think he hit the guy too.
I would have hit him back. I was the guy.
Yeah, but then that guy would be on waivers today.
Yeah,
it's okay. Get his dignity.
Donald.
I showed him.
Donald in Marietta, Georgia says, remember, gents, Brady says he intends to play till he's 40 years old.
Right.
Yeah. He says that now. But that could change.
I have no doubt about that. But here's the thing.
It could change.
He actually says
that decision is
he
mine.
He says
not
that every
his.
Year. He says 10 years. Right. So he actually keeps saying he's going to play till
43.
Infinity, basically.
Yeah. Listen, if he continues to play like he played last year and he's 40, that's fine. But if that decision's not his.
Right.
Yeah, but is it fine if you drafted Andrew Luck number one overall and you have him sitting on the bench?
No, but we already talked about all the different variables that make it difficult
to
do that. But I would wait till there's at least signs of a drop-off from Brady. And certainly, based on 2010, that's not evident. He had as fine a season as he's had last year.
So after that Ravens playoff game, Paul would have said, I think we need to draft a quarterback.
How I somehow managed to be the class suck-up and the class basher at the same time is beyond me. Well,
there were signs that day thrown across the field. Picked off.
All right.
He just won the MVP unanimously.
Oh, no, I said the Ravens game.
I had one
when
more.
I said 2010. No, he's
you said
up a
as
season.
You'd wait until there were signs, and my point
so
was
one
in that game,
is a
there
sign.
Were signs.
So one game is a sign.
I have one
how,
more.
How would he be as a GA? He'd be worse than me. I would have the all-choir boy team that couldn't win a game. He would have no one on the roster because you just keep cutting guys.
But Rick Pitino with the Celtics.
Yeah, clearing house. One point I wanted to make, Andy and I were talking about this upstairs earlier from the Brady Six, where they were showing clips where he was mic'd up at the Pro Bowl a few years ago.
Yep.
And he was talking to somebody who was at the time off camera about baseball, whether that guy played baseball or not. And he was a catcher, a pretty highly recruited and drafted catcher. Yes, Brady was. And he said to the guy, yeah, I was a catcher. He's like, I didn't want to be a pitcher, too much thinking involved or something to that effect. And I was thinking, you play quarterback in the NFL, where the position that requires more thinking than almost any other position in any sport. And he didn't want to be. I thought it was just kind of funny that he used that as his rationale for not wanting to be a pitcher, and he's a quarterback. And he said that
I took it
that
more
it was
of
that
like,
there was too much time in between.
Yeah,
you mean in between pitches? There's
the
too much
thinking
time?
Thinking to yourself, not so much thinking about the job.
just likes to thinking, get out there.
The thinking in football is analytical. If the safety's here and the corner's here, I'm doing it. It's A, B, C, D, E.
Well, I could see where
pitching in baseball.
I can see where a quarterback in football would be attracted to the catcher position.
They're rocket shots
because
at baseball.
You're in on every play.
Amaze me.
You're in on every play in every game. Whereas a pitcher, you know, it's every fourth, fifth day.
Right.
So I can see where a quarterback in football would be attracted to that position in baseball, the catching. Because, you know, you're kind of like
involved
the
in
quarterback back there.
But it's
know?
Also but it's not, the thinking for a pitcher is not definitive. It's a mind game. It's a, what's the hitter looking for? What am I
right.
looking to throw back and forth? It's
but it's
not
so, it's sort of that way as
ABC.
A quarterback if you're reading the defense and there's you know you're looking at it is that a zone or is it a man?
It's hard
is
to
it,
compare the two sports.
Yeah.
No, I know, but you know. it just struck me as a little ironic that he said that about baseball when
I think
he,
it's more scientific for a quarterback. You know, we've had that argument science versus art, whereas a pitcher I think there's more art.
Yeah, I mean one
you
is
know
a
how
sport,
they always
the
up and in
time,
so now he's
so
going
to
throw low and away. Well, not necessarily.
To just compare the two.
I missed that one. Did you take another shot?
Trying to get Paul's goat. Over
I missed
there?
It. I'll take the bait if I
said one is a sport, the other's a pastime. So
oh,
it's hard to.
Okay.
Yeah, one's America's pastime.
That's actually funny. I actually have to laugh at that.
All right. 508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. We have a lot of emails.
I get another mock.
You do.
This is Todd McShay, but he had two scouts do it for him, a scout from the NFC and a scout from the AFC go back and forth. And the scout for the Patriots at 17 took Adrian Claiborne, defensive end, Iowa, which I think is a terrible pick.
I don't like it.
He doesn't seem to fit the system
don't
for
like
me.
It at all.
He's a fat defensive end, but not big enough to be a Patriots
yeah,
end.
And not a tweener.
Not
you
enough to be an outside linebacker. Bad fit.
Yeah.
And then 28, Mark Ingram.
Meh.
So I don't really... And the guy even said he felt
no pass
rushers. Tougher picks, and he felt like he was kind of trapped by the way the draft unfolded.
We're
starting to hear some
Andy.
Sorry,
no, that's okay. Go ahead. Were either Alden Smith or Ryan Kerrigan available when he picked
Alden
Claiborne?
Smith was available. He
see,
went
that
would have
been the pick
to the Chargers.
That should have been the pick.
Kerrigan had gone 16 to the Jags.
To the Jags,
and Quinn had obviously gone earlier 10 to the Redskins.
I think Kerrigan went 16 to the Jags in the writer's mock draft.
Oh,
as well.
He's a.
Yeah.
That's one of those like Danny Watkins to the Patriots 28. Everybody's got it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also have Will Bunting if you want his. He was a guest this week on
whatever that
the
draft
B-Lo show
is.
Inside the Draft Room, which can be heard next coming up.
Good
after
Will
the show.
Bunting.
Oh,
very good.
It hasn't been on yet?
Well, it's been on, but it'll
good.
Be replayed
oh, repeat.
After, right after this show.
It's a podcast. Can it be replayed anytime people want to replay?
Best of.
17, Cameron Jordan. Which is a
yep,
popular
yep,
one.
Another one that's
and 28 popular. Danny Watkins, which has become
a lot of people saying Danny Watkins.
That's so there's no chance of Cameron Jordan, Danny Watkins. So that's been far,
that many
that
people.
Combination has right. been has been we it was the writer's mock draft.
Yeah,
that's showing up too many places.
Now we're gonna take a
well drafts never but drafts never work out that way. Like they like the other picks won't be
right
in that. You know, in that order,
right. Well, the
prevent
that
or
that
force.
Low in the draft, they don't usually work. Like up in the top five, you sometimes get.
Like,
oh yeah,
sure.
Everybody
yeah.
hit those.
Like Andy and I didn't really want to take Cameron Jordan on that day that we took him for the writer's mock draft, but we were sort of forced into it based on what had happened previously. It never works out that way.
Yeah, trades will be made.
The 16 other picks
had Alden
will not
Smith
be
on the clock.
Yeah, I mean Alden Smith.
Somebody will move up to get a Tyson Alualu. That you don't expect, you know, and that'll throw everyone's draft board off. So
or a quarterback, some of those people that have was it our mock draft 12 to the locker
not,
12
not,
to the
not
Vikings?
In ours, but a lot, but some people something. Have had him at all of a sudden locker 12 to the Vikings.
That's a domino changer. That changes every domino after it.
But I was going to point out, starting to be some smoke about Mark Ingram talking about his knee. Suddenly,
no.
You know, is this
that I think people are just reaching now for reasons
happen.
Not to take him.
That normal
when the real reason
thing?
Is he's not that good.
Yeah,
that's the reason. He's not that good. He's not an elite running back. You can get equal talent later in the draft.
No. He will go off. No. Wait.
We're just waiting for you to start.
Well, he's just not that good.
He's just not that good.
It's everybody seems to say it, and yet everybody writes 15 to the Dolphins or whatever and puts him in. And how about we just say? He's not that good. Put him in the second round.
You know, for example, Fred.
Yes.
We got to 19 with the Giants on the writer's mock draft. Ralph Vacchiano, very highly respected Giants beat writer. He sends me back an email. So wait a minute. Mark Ingram's on the board still? You know, like 19, Mark Ingram's available. Stop the presses. That's a stunner. That's where he's going to get taken from 15 on
or
down.
Or later
to 40. Know,
yeah.
That's where he's going to get taken. But that was the reaction. It was like, oh, running back's probably not the biggest need, but I can't let the Heisman Trophy winner slip any. The value's too high.
Right. And yet they say he, you know, he's not that fast. He's not overly big. He's not overly strong. He's not this. He's not that. Well, you're telling yourself what he is. He's just a guy. He's a good running. He was productive. He's a good running back. But there's a lot of productive running backs in this class.
Stripper says that Adam Kaplan had a mock draft. He's got the Patriots taking Anthony Costanzo at 17. We know he's
a Calzone?
Tackle out of Boston College. And he says at 28, the Patriots take
Danny Watkins.
Mark Ingram.
Oh, yeah.
Says Ingram
Costanzo
is,
and Watkins would be Ingram is a bit of overkill.
His analysis here is Ingram is too good a value to pass up here. He would also fill a need.
So he might be available at 33.
But that's the thing. Everybody has that comment, and that's why I mentioned the Vacchiano comment. Well, is he that good, or are you just like looking like? Well, his resume says that that's too much value. He's former Heisman Trophy winner and blah blah. I just don't think he's that good. I like LeSure better than him. I'm on record as saying that.
We'll see what happens when it unfolds.
But
what do you know about Mikel LeSure?
I'm definitely hedging my bets now.
And I watched Ingram, and I think that LeSure.
Where did you watch these?
on the YouTube.
Big YouTuber.
The YouTube.
Andy, did you call Wes Bunting Will Bunting? Because a bunch of people are tweeting that.
Yes, you called him Will Bunting, and then
and
he said
good
Will,
Will Bunting.
Good Will Bunting. Oh, okay. And I was just thinking to myself the whole time, I could have sworn that guy's name was Wes.
You're getting bashed on Twitter.
Why am I getting bashed?
Oh, Andy's getting bashed.
Because I don't
Andy's
know who the guy
defensive.
Is.
I just think that's a stupid thing to bash about. It's not even funny.
Oh,
it's not funny. It's not funny when it's about
it. It was a Will Bunting, wasn't there? Will Bunting?
I'm sure there has existed a Will
Bunting. There probably has been.
Andy is the funny police now, too. It's not funny.
Christian from
Denmark
wants
you,
to know,
funny, Paul.
Do the Patriots trade Brady if he doesn't stop crying?
What?
Christian from Denmark wants to know, should the Patriots trade Brady if he doesn't stop crying?
I think he's untradeable with the cap acceleration you would take on that.
Oh, I thought you were saying with the tears. He's untradeable now.
No, the hair would make him untradeable. Tears shows passion.
Other GMs have your hair mystique.
Should you guys talk about your... overall impressions of the entire documentary, and we mentioned Brady 6 briefly, but we hadn't gotten to talk about it on the radio.
I thought we talked about it.
Solid. Well, it was Tuesday night.
Oh, that's true.
We talked about it yesterday in the office.
Well, I thought it was a great. The only criticism that I've heard that I kind
legitimate.
Of agree with,
yes.
is the one that they didn't mention Dick Raybine.
Yeah, right.
But other than that, I think it was a documentary about that draft with Brady and the other guys.
More of Brady than I expected, I got to say.
Oh, really?
Because I thought the title implied that they might focus more on the six other guys.
Oh, you mean, wait. They call it the Brady Six, and you thought it was going to be more on the six than the Brady?
I thought that
a
it could
bit.
Be.
I thought it was the stories of the guys that tied into Brady.
Yeah, I think that title's misleading.
I think I think the fact that they drafted Brady in the sixth round made that draft interesting when it comes to quarterbacks. Otherwise, it's just another quarterback.
I agree, but it just the title made me think, oh, maybe they're hooking us by calling it Brady and showing a clip of Brady, and maybe it'll be more about the other guys.
Yeah,
pleasantly surprised.
Again, so Fred, you thought the Brady Six was Brady who was drafted in the sixth round.
I knew it was about the six guys drafted before Brady.
All right, that's what I thought it was.
Yeah,
it's coincidental
I'm
that there were six
Eric.
Other guys too.
I didn't see it, but I was with Eric. I would have expected to be more of a focus on how Brady impacted these other six guys who got taken ahead of him, many of which had no business being taken ahead of him.
Yeah,
notably that Spurgeon Wynn guy,
right.
who completed fewer than 50% of his passes in,
right.
at a low level college.
Right,
and Giovanni Carmazzi is. A story unto himself based on that. That's
Which
that's
he'll
incredible.
Keep to himself, apparently.
Apparently.
He's off the reservation.
Right. Yeah. I just thought that was
and he has
five that was amazing. He doesn't own a television. He refused to be interviewed for this documentary. He has five goats.
I thought that was great.
Yeah, what was that movie, Men Who Stare at Goats? He's one of them, apparently.
Yeah, no, I thought it was really well worth watching.
Yes, it was good.
Yeah.
Even though we knew the story of Brady. We knew the whole story of
sure.
how, you know, all that stuff that transpired.
I also thought it was more realistic in the Brady telling than, you know, he overcame so much and said he was a really good quarterback at Michigan. He pushed Brian Griese as a sophomore. He was Mr. Comeback. He won, put up a lot of yards, won a lot of games, won a bowl game. Was it Lynn Swann was interviewing him saying, Mr. Comeback and
Comeback
like,
Kid. Yeah.
And I remember
people
that,
try to pretend he wasn't a star in college. He was a star in college.
Against
and it reminds us how
that was a
highly touted Drew Henson was as an athlete.
Right.
You know, he was this all around athlete.
And a local kid too.
Right.
That's why there was even more pressure because he's from
disservice,
Michigan.
Focusing too much on both. He should have probably, in retrospect, just picked one.
Right. Yeah.
Basically,
and he said that.
He admitted it.
He wasn't big enough
to
be
the only part of the documentary I saw.
I actually thought Drew Henson acquitted himself pretty well, acknowledging that, you know what, I was too impatient. If I had stuck with one or the other, I might have done better.
Right.
And
be easy to be. You know? And I saw the very late when they had that clip and he said, yeah, I'm asked these questions a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Very easy to get bitter about that.
Yeah, especially
doesn't
there was
seem
a,
like he has.
A douche asking him questions on the radio.
I thought
you're
of you
all
at
washed
that point.
Up at 30.
I thought of you asking the difficult question and the inappropriate question.
Even Andy wouldn't have asked it like
no,
that.
No, but
did.
No, obviously not. But it was funny because that's immediately what I thought of. Was like, wow, this guy actually had the cojones to ask him that in that way.
But he could ask it in a better way.
He could have. Yeah.
Could have.
Yeah, you're retired at 30.
Could have asked it like a human being.
Yeah.
Dave writes in, to get in the top five, he says, trade Patriots 17th and 33rd pick to get in the top five and pick a highly rated defensive end. Your thoughts? We still would have the 28th overall in the first round. In any case,
I'm for it.
I thought 17 and 28 got you to 6.
17 and 28. This guy wants to
keep
28.
So how does 17 and 33 get you higher than 6?
Yeah, you have to know your value board.
Well, no, I'm not saying
have
that
they
that
ever
is
done
the
that
be-all
value board. Yeah, have they done that over yet? Because that was
no,
Jimmy
it's always
Johnson's.
The same one. Yeah,
but I heard that they were thinking.
I thought
of
they
kind
did. I thought they did tweak it recently.
Who's the
scouts?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure there's some teams that have tweaked it, but
each
I don't
team
know
probably
that there's
has
a
its
public
own
version.
Probably yeah, iteration of it.
You know, so when we give out that value board, that's kind of a general, you know, value. Yeah. But that doesn't mean it's
roast
written
beef,
in stone.
Mustard,
I mean, there
rice.
Are, you know, there could be a situation
mustard,
where
lettuce,
instead of 6, a team would be
pickles.
Willing to give the Patriots 5. You know, that's not out of the question.
Or they might want a player instead of a pick, or, you know, it's, each situation is customizable.
Tim from Clovis, California, he wanted to know what we made of the locker visit. we talked about that at the top of the show. He also says, who do you see as a can't-miss player in this draft? Can't-miss.
A.J. Green.
A.J. Green is the best.
Really?
Yeah.
That's probably as close as you can get.
A lot of people say Von Miller.
Well, it's risky, though, to, you know, have a wide receiver as a can't-miss player.
Well, that just tells you
don't
what
you
the
think?
Rest of the talent in the draft is like.
No, but we thought
overall.
Calvin Johnson was can't-miss, and he didn't miss.
Right?
At the risk of revisiting our argument from last week, I don't think there's any more of a risk at any different position for that question.
If you pick the right guy, you pick the right guy.
You're picking one guy that you're saying is a can't-miss. There's an enormous risk at that.
Well, sometimes it's easier to judge, like, you know, and I know this is a – these guys are rarely taken that early, but it's easier to judge who's going to succeed at guard than wide receiver. There's less, you know, tangibles that you have to factor in there. The guy, you know.
No, I don't know about that.
I do.
Playing the role of Andy. I just think sometimes those guys get a longer, you're not on the island. You know, you're surrounded by a good tackle and a good center, and you get more chances.
That was the point I tried to make.
No one knows
on
immediately
Tuesday.
That you suck. You know, fans aren't clamoring for you, and it's just different.
Yeah,
you don't have stats.
Most people don't evaluate offensive linemen. Well,
you don't have stats to sit there and say, wow, he was.
Yeah, Lumberjack blocks, Paul.
He's Peter Warwick. He was the fourth overall pick, and he never had a 1,000-yard receiving season. He never caught 50 passes or whatever, you know, his threshold was with the Bengals. Right. You can see it. I don't care how the guard could be 1,000 times worse than Jamarcus Russell, and people wouldn't see it. NFL people would know,
right?
But people watching wouldn't know how that he's that bad.
Unless he never started, never got any.
Right.
You know, I mean,
but he would play. He would play simply because of where he was chosen.
Yep.
Adam writes in. The shows have been great. Thank you. He says, I just wanted to chime in on the fake Ken Walter, as I do find it funny. I happen to know the real Ken Walter personally. Yes, the Ken that held the ball for Adam in 3 of the greatest kicks in Patriots history. I have to say he is one of the nicest guys I know and can't imagine where making fun of him started from. So for curiosity and so I can have a laugh with Ken, where did fake Ken come from? We have no idea. He just
I don't know if there was any origin to that.
Yeah.
Me neither. Other than the guy just started writing in, right?
I'm all about making fun of people. Why else do I listen to this show? Poor Eric. But Ken Walter, really? That's the guy to make fun of? Did Snooki die or any of the Jets? Also, do you think the Pats will be more aggressive in free agency now that it's after the draft? What kind of season big names will Rexy go for?
Well, we don't know what the rules are going
to
be
the
like.
Ken Walter thing, I think kind of what makes it funny is that he's not an obvious person to make fun of.
Right.
So this guy has taken on his persona.
He also struggled later on in his career and, you know, was cut, was brought back, was cut. He
was made fun of
while he was here.
Games and kicks, certainly.
Yeah. He was not a very good punter.
No. And I agree with his assessment
is
as a person.
The quotes from the first Super Bowl where he was thinking, if I miss this, I'm the next Bill Buckner. If I can't miss this, I'll go down in New England history as the next Bill Buckner. Not exactly what I want my guy thinking at the time.
Right. All right. We can't do lunch break right now because Kevin's here.
You'd have to say, and we'll go to a break.
No, but he's walking
back
in now. I do need to take a quick break. We have a lot of emails. Actually, a lot to talk about here in this very special off-season edition.
He's the model of speed and precision, a machine that picks apart defenses. This is Wes Welker, part of a last-minute drive to the end zone. He's constantly on the move, and he moves fast. You're just as fast. Introducing Verizon 4G LTE, the fastest, most advanced 4G network in America. With it, you can download a song from VCast Rhapsody faster than the average play can develop. Upload your favorite photo in 6 seconds. Share 10 photos in a minute. Stream video like you're watching an instant replay through a window. It's that smooth, that fast. And it's the only 4G network that can compete with Wes Welker.
Yeah, let's go again.
To learn more about Verizon 4G, visit your local Verizon store for a live demo or visit VerizonWireless.com/4GLTE. Rule the air. Verizon. Coverage details at VerizonWireless.com.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit card.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epocher. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday, to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday, to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
And now, story time with Fred Kirsch.
I had this dream. I was in this, it was sort of like a cafeteria setting with big glass windows, and a lot of people there were people that we worked with and like on the travel party. So we're looking and there's this weather coming and it's like dark clouds and it turns into this tornado. So I'm like, everybody get away from the windows. We get away from the windows and trees are coming down, but luckily nothing happened. So then that passes, and then we decide that, okay, dinner is coming soon, but a lot of us wanted to work out after dinner, so this cafeteria turns into a hotel. And now a lot of us have to go up in the elevator to get our gym stuff, because after we eat, we're going to work out. So we get in the elevator, and it's a bunch of people, and one of them's Gino. And Gino has no pants on, Gino Capoletti. And his unit is attached to his hip.
Hello.
And it was like,
hello.
It was like a weird deformity, like that no one ever knew about, but there it was. It's like, and my thoughts going through my mind was, how does he like explain that to women?
Why are you having dreams about Gino's unit?
Thanks,
it was attached to his hip.
I don't care where it's attached. Why are you thinking about his unit?
I don't know. It was just a weird dream.
That was Story Time with Fred Kirsch.
Next week, you're going to tell Gino this story, right? Please.
No. And you better not bring it up either.
All right, back here in PFW in progress.
Oh.
As I'm speaking, I'm watching ESPN, and Todd McShay is talking with Mel Kiper about the chances of Jake Locker being drafted by the Patriots. I
just went minus 20.
Andy Hart has it at minus 20%.
Yeah, is it that? Is it? I guess there's just not a lot of stuff to talk about these days.
Well,
you know,
NFL wise, it's all about the draft.
Are the Patriots the only team that have talked to Jake Locker? I mean,
no,
I don't know.
No, but they're the only team with Tom Brady and with multiple first round picks.
So let's think about it, you know, rationally, and say, no, there isn't a chance he's going to. There must be another reason
I hope they take him.
Well, then I'll be stunned.
Well, on this topic, I have a question for you guys. I've seen, you know, Fred said that, you know, all these people are just confused. They don't know why, blah, blah, blah. And they're wondering. And they don't understand it. I've also seen some people analyzing this and saying, well, he's trying to drum up interest and make people think he's going to take a quarterback to bolster the value of that pick. Does that make any sense at all?
No, because people should see through that.
But even if there was, what difference does it make whether or not they're going to take a quarterback? The value was that pick. Regardless of who the Patriots are going to take, if they really wanted to take Jake Locker, they wouldn't trade it to a team that wants a quarterback.
No, I think Fred's right in that if you can get Seattle to believe you're going to do it or whatever, then you're just pushing a player down to you, whatever player it is that doesn't go to Seattle.
Right.
You mean ahead of you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's different.
Get Seattle to
I'm
think,
talking
I
about,
can't wait. And if Seattle is considering trading up in the second round
to get him. I agree with
Fred
on that, yes.
If you can force him to do it at 25, they take him, you get whatever player slides down one.
Right.
That I agree with. I'm talking about in terms of someone trading up to you for the pick because they think you're going to take him, which I've seen written a lot. That makes no sense to me.
Yeah, I don't.
Like, if I need to get up to 28 or 17, whatever you deem the place that you need to get up to.
It doesn't make any
what
sense.
If the Patriots are going to, if they were really interested in
I need to get up to 27 or 16, basically.
Yes, right.
Because if Bill really wants him.
He's going to go in one
unless
of those spots.
You're saying, okay, I'll give you 7 first-round picks for 28 because I know you want to take him, but I'll just outbid you. No, I'd have to go to a pick higher, theoretically. I think it's more about either pushing guys down or, like I said, just trying to find out what his value might be so you have a better idea as you deal in trades. If people are looking to trade up, you know, what you should really be looking for.
Cavern in Gainesville is the person who made lunch possible for us today.
Oh, thank you, Cavern.
Thank you very much. And he sends us an email. He says, I hope lunch is good.
Very
I wanted good. To buy for a while in celebration of the fact that as a devoted listener of the show, we no longer have to listen to Mike in Puerto Rico.
Oh.
But he also says he has a question. I felt going into last season we were set for a while at safety. Now I feel as if I'm wrong. What are your thoughts on adding a free agent safety like Michael Huff to replace the party starter, Brandon Merriweather?
Brandon Merriweather.
Paired up with Chung or Jimmy Sanders, our back-end defense would be solid. As always, keep up the great work. Enjoy lunch. Thanks for all you do for us Pats fans. And, yes, that does include the epic push-up battle.
Well, if you think adding someone to either of those two would make you solid, how come those two don't make you solid?
Because you need depth, especially in today's game.
No, but if you're adding the guy as a free agent, a guy like Michael Huff, you would expect to be a starter.
But no, but my point is, he seems to think that Chung and Sanders are interchangeable. They're starters.
Mm-hmm. So,
well, then we have two starters, and they have Jared Page, who seemed like Bill likes and seems intriguing for a depth guy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't
and there's
think
even,
it's a
there's
huge
even
need.
Depth behind that that we probably don't know a whole lot about in Josh
right.
Barrett
well,
and maybe even Sergio Brown. I'm kind of with Andy on this. I find it a little bit funny that going into last year, you thought we were solid at safety. You knew nothing about Chung.
Right, and he developed. And
Chung,
now you don't feel good.
I think, probably exceeded most, or certainly mine, exceeded a lot of Patriots fans' opinions, or expectations, I should say, in 2010. The safety spot to me is better right now, even with Merriweather's, you know, trending down than it was heading into last season.
See, I don't think so.
I don't know how you cannot.
I don't think so. I think
you had a guy who did not play more than what, five snaps of defense as a rookie, who emerged as a quality starter for you when healthy last year,
and an impact.
Well,
and James Sanders, I think, had a better year last year in terms of making plays and doing things like that that we don't necessarily associate with him than he has.
Here's the thing: I think Sanders is a solid player, but I think we could upgrade as far as a starter. As far as Chung goes, I think he's a playmaker but inconsistent. I think that the safety position, and now you've got Merriweather, who knows where his head's at.
You don't know where his head's at?
No, I don't know where his head's at.
Why?
Well, I just don't. There's a lot of things going on. So I think that I wouldn't rule out, with the 28th pick, the Patriots taking a safety.
I would rule it out at 28.
I would not rule that out.
There aren't that many great players at the
position. I don't even know if a safety's going to get taken in the first round.
Yeah.
That's number one. Number two, it's got to be well down the list of needs.
Yeah.
I'm interested in your sudden, seeming switching of gears here with regard to Merriweather. I remember getting yelled at quite often about Merriweather's play.
Well, I think that people are too hard on him.
Oh. But yet you want to draft one in the first round. But you want to draft a safety at 28.
I don't think he's a Pro Bowl.
No further questions, as Andy would say.
I don't think he's a Pro Bowl safety. I said that before, and I'll say it again. But I also don't think Sanders or Chung are Pro Bowl safeties either.
No, but you're
and I think if you have a chance to get a Pro Bowl safety, you do that.
But I don't think you're going to get a Pro Bowl safety in this crop.
How are you getting?
Maybe
in
not.
The first round.
But what if you can get one in free agency?
Then maybe you try to go after.
In other words, I wouldn't rule out them looking to upgrade the safety position.
I wouldn't either. I would rule it out at the 28th pick or the 17th pick.
Okay.
I would rule it out there.
That's fair.
I wouldn't rule it out in free agency.
That's fair. But I wouldn't rule them
you
saying
don't think,
we can get better there.
You don't think Chung can be a Pro Bowler? There's no chance?
Oh, I think there's absolutely a chance. Absolutely a chance. Yep.
Because I thought he showed flashes of playmaking ability, makes you a Pro Bowler.
He did.
You can get beat. You don't have to be solid.
He had some really good games. He's also made mistakes out there, you know.
So is Brandon Merriweather. He's a two-time Pro Bowler.
Yeah. And that's why people
don't
like him.
Chung had a better season than Merriweather.
Don't use that two-time Pro Bowler thing, because we know he's not one.
He has been twice, and you said you don't think Chung is a pro. I mean, he could be a Pro Bowl safety.
He could be.
He was better than Merriweather last year.
Yeah. Right now, I don't think any of these guys are. And that's my point.
But yet you think there's a free agent that's a Pro Bowl safety.
I don't know. But what I'm saying is, don't rule out the Patriots thinking we can get better at the safety position.
Well, listen.
They always think that at every position.
Don't take it super literally. I mean, I think that they probably feel they can upgrade at any spot with the exception of quarterback. Realistically, they could get better at any position. But I just if you're going to stack them, safety's got to be 7, 8, 9 on the list of positions they probably realistically expect to improve.
I agree with that in terms of need. You know, safety's not at the top of the list. However, as we know, sometimes when you blend what the value is and the need is at, you know, a given time, sometimes, you know, you end up taking a guy that we didn't expect. You know,
Listen, Bill is not predictable come draft time. That I agree with you on, Fred. So if you're using that kind of thought process, I'm not going to say there's no way, it's not going to happen. But to me, Michael Huff doesn't make your safety core that you have right now better. He adds another NFL player to a mix of guys that you already have. I don't think he's different than the guys you already have.
And that's fine.
If that adds depth,
right.
Sure. But it doesn't. I don't think it makes your frontline safeties any better.
And that's fine. You can say that Michael Huff doesn't make us better. Fine. But that, to me, that's a different argument than, can the Patriots be better at safety? You know, or are they, you know, they're absolutely set? I don't think the answer to that is yes.
Well, you have to weigh it. You can't just say, black and white, they can't get better or they can get better. Yeah. Ed Reed in his prime would make this safety core better. Troy Polamalu, but the guys available would not make you any better at safety, in my opinion.
Well, I have to look at that free agent list. I don't, you know.
Well, my feeling is just that if the guys available, I just don't think you can get guys like that. When you're pretty solid at a position, the chances of you improving it are slim, in my opinion. That's all.
I just want to shoot down a little. Everybody says Bill's not predictable, which I don't think he's overly predictable, but I also don't think he's like that outside the box. I mean, you look at over the years, he needed a guard. He drafted Logan Mankins. He needed a running back. He drafted Lawrence Maroney. He had needed an inside linebacker for a couple years, and we had talked about it for a couple years. He finally drafted Gerard Mayo. He needed tight ends last year, and he took tight ends. I don't think he's that outside the box. I don't think he tries to be different just to be different. I think a lot of his picks are needs. You know, he needed a nose tackle. He took Vince Wilfork because there was a nose tackle available. So I don't think he's this overly...
Maybe the biggest need pick he ever made was Ty Warren.
Right.
I'll give you some names here, Fred. Free agent safeties coming up. From Baltimore, DeJuan Landry and Tom Zbikowski. Interest in either of those?
Boxer.
No. No.
Okay. Running down the list here. No, stay away from Roy Williams.
Some people might say Zbikowski because of name recognition. But
well, I would take DeJuan Landry, but not. I don't think he would make you discernibly better.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Gerald Sensabaugh, Dallas.
That would be a downgrade.
That would be a downgrade. Let's see. Atari Bigby, Green Bay.
Another downgrade. Did we have Felger talking about Atari Bigby?
Charlie Peppra from Green Bay.
Remember what Dan Conley did to him on that kick return?
That's right.
I think these are all depth. These are all,
I'm just going.
That,
but that's what I'm saying. You would be better in terms of depth, but
yep, that's
I don't
my point.
Think that these guys would represent an upgrade over Chung, Sanders.
Right. That's why I'm going down the list, and I don't see that many. I mean, Darren Sharper's 85 years old, right, and we don't need him anymore. There are names that you would recognize, but they're not names that necessarily would upgrade.
Sure. And again, you can say, well, there isn't anyone available who we have who's better than what we've got. Okay,
right.
That could be true.
James Ahedigbo, Brodney
Poole.
But that's
not saying who we have is that great.
No, but all these guys to me are the same as what you have. Starting caliber
and that's
or
fair.
Safeties in the NFL. Not stars, not Pro Bowlers, just guys who can start, play.
Here's one
I think
name.
Chung of the group is the guy with the biggest. Well, maybe in year three, if he makes another jump, you're saying, this guy's always around the football. He's
right.
Physical. He's.
Yep.
How about Eric Weddle?
Hurt?
What?
Look at this guy.
Weddle's a name and has had some productivity. Yeah,
he didn't play much.
Andy missed my thing.
What?
You said he's making plays. He's always by the ball. And I said he's always hurt.
Who's always hurt? Who are we talking about?
I was making a joke about Chung.
That is going to be an issue. The Bob Sanders comparison, a guy who
right.
physical flings his body around. Can he stay healthy playing that style? But
how about
I like some of those guys.
My point is this: if you went down that same list that Eric just went down for linebackers, I'll bet you could find a hell of a lot more guys that you'd say right away.
Right,
he's better than Rob Ninkovich.
Right, right.
But he's better than Tully Bantakane.
Right,
but you. But. You know, going down the list of guys at safety, you'd say, well, he's probably the same.
How about the last one on there that I thought was of interest was Eric Weddle from San Diego.
I hate him.
I know you hate him because you don't like him as a person, but.
Well, I don't think he's that good a player.
No, I'm just saying.
I mean, again.
Yeah, he's on Paul's team.
A starting caliber
NFL player. A little guy
player.
Who's kind of annoying and around the ball.
He's an NFL caliber player. I mean, I'm not saying he's
right.
a stiff.
So are the four guys they have on the depth chart.
That's my point. He's the same. He would add depth to your team. But I don't think he would represent an upgrade to your team. There's a difference.
Yeah.
And that's the list that you're dealing with this
now,
year.
Now, maybe Bill feels differently. Maybe Bill thinks, aside
from
these
trades.
Guys can't play.
Right. I mean, there are more names on that list, but those are the names that you would recognize the most. And just given... The analysis that these guys gave on these guys, there's not much to choose from.
Right.
I mean, Bill might look at that and say, geez, we have to scheme every week to hide these safeties. Maybe that's how he feels. I don't know.
Right.
It didn't seem that way to me, but you never know exactly what the coaches are thinking.
Right. Jason from Chiba is our listener from Japan. He writes in, he says, hey, Cork Soakers.
What's shaking?
I missed that. When do we get it back? No. We used to be called Cork Soakers.
Did we lose that?
We might have lost that open.
Oh, really? In the great fire of 2010? I don't know.
Kevin's just nodding his head.
All of a sudden, we lost
a lot of the old stuff.
We lost the board a long time before the great fire.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, the board's been gone for a while.
Sad, but true.
A long time ago, no, Fred, I'm not going to quote the Bible, you asked for pictures of us listening to PFW in progress. I never really figured why it was that anyone could want a picture of me, but just in case it came up again, I took a few. None of them as cool as this one, so I thought I'd share. Me waiting for my bride to get changed after our wedding, which took place the 1st of April. Congratulations.
Congratulations. Wait, so you were listening to our show?
Yes. And
while getting ready to consummate your marriage?
He's got the photo of the, he's got his phone, and you can see our logo on the phone. He was actually listening to us right after his wedding.
So we were your fluffer, apparently.
All right.
We got your engine going.
We get it.
You were with me to the end, he says.
To the end of the consummation?
I hope not.
Oh.
On to more important things. 10th. Me, I made the top 10. This is cause for a Paul-esque drinking binge. Couldn't figure it out even in the slightest. I'm convinced I wouldn't even remember my name if I wasn't me. I know I'm tremendous, but that's only when I write you, so what gives? And then it dawned on me. Earthquakes, radioactive tragedy, pain and death. Yeah, that's Chiba, not in China. Fathead in Japan.
Why did I say China?
I don't know.
I don't think I did, because Brooklyn Matt definitely would have said something.
Standing tall atop the broken homes and radioactive fish of northern Japan, I get remembered. If I wasn't a newlywed, I'd shoot myself. Lastly, though this is positive feedback from a guy who actually listened to the Fred Belo show, so it's not like you have to go out of your way to impress me. The special off-season stuff this year has been good listening. I wish the team was as consistent.
There was a Fred Belo show?
I believe there was me and Brian.
An off-season? An
off-season
show?
Probably in the summer.
Yeah.
Last year in the summer when everybody was on vacation.
I forget, but...
No, Fred was probably on vacation, too. He just, I got to come in now.
I do recall having a very polite show with Brian Lowe.
A.K.A. boring.
Well, I've been polite to
you. I didn't want to say that, but you did. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address.
I'm not the brightest guy in the world.
508-543-7482. Is the ace ticket hotline. What other news? We talked about Jake Locker. We talked about Brady Six. A little bit of draft needs. Mediation's going on. And like I said, I saw Robert Kraft is there. So maybe that's a good sign. Maybe, you know, he seems to be the bridge builder.
Yeah. Was he there with?
I didn't see the other
Jerry owners. Richardson.
He's the bridge breaker.
Right.
Blower up.
And they get Jerry Jones, Art Rooney, the fist pounder, you know. So
He's there too?
I don't know.
Oh.
I don't think he's there. I was reading some stuff earlier. I thought it was Clark Hunt, Rooney, Richardson, and the big cheese.
All right. Well, let's it would be nice if they could have something, and then it was announced that after draft, the week after, free agency was going to open up.
Right.
That would be awesome.
We've reached an agreement. We still have to work out some of the language and details, but the major hurdles have been cleared. We'll have an agreement in place soon.
Right.
That'd be great.
That would be great.
No chance.
Awesome.
Let's see. Casey writes in. Where's Casey from?
The batter's box.
Milwaukee.
Get it?
Legal
Casey
department?
At the bat.
Formerly of Conway, New Hampshire. He says he works at the Medical College of Wisconsin as a structural biologist. The MRIs that you are familiar with are based on nuclear magnetic resonance, which is my specialty.
Nice.
Instead of imaging people, I look at the structure of cancer proteins. Anyway, the podcasts are a great way to pass time while purifying protein, preparing samples, and running experiments. But last week's push-up competition earned a couple of funny looks around the lab when I couldn't stop laughing during the last 10 minutes of the show. Great stuff. I'm renewing my subscription based on that alone.
Nice.
Thank you. There you go.
See? Aren't you glad we talked about
that? We made money.
That?
We made money, Fred.
Yeah. If that's American all I have to do, I'll start doing chin-ups. You know, sit-ups, whatever you want.
There's a pole up there.
Look, I exercise for subscriptions.
I think that would give way.
All right? I'll have a sign. I exercise for subscriptions.
But, you know, that's like one of those diminishing returns thing. At some point, that becomes unsafe.
Yeah.
And then what happens if we lose you?
Well,
that's not what we're looking for.
That's all
right. Or the ceiling.
I could die, you know, doing what I love best, you know, helping the cause. Anyway.
No one wants to see that.
Casey
no.
says, I wanted to take a trip back in time to 2000. After seeing the Brady documentary, it occurred to me that if Paul was part of PFW at the time, he was probably upset with Brady taking Drew's job. Can you guys talk about when you first met Brady, kind of when you saw that he was going to be Tom Brady?
You should come here and you can do this damn radio show.
And also what you thought of the controversy in the playoffs when Drew was healthy and they stuck with Brady.
Paul, I was upset too.
Well, Fred and I were here. Andy was not part of PFW at the time. He was part of the, believe it or not, media relations department.
Right.
The F is that supposed to be?
I think you know
they
what that
means.
They
couldn't get rid of him fast
And that was
enough.
A very apt response to why our difference
and it all
in
makes
age.
Sense.
It's surprising that you were ever part of that.
And it all makes sense now because, you know, Andy's boss, Stacey James, like, oh, you got to hire this guy. He's the greatest. Yeah.
Couldn't
now
wait to get rid of him.
He just wanted to get rid of him.
And Eric was in between.
Had he known, I don't think he would have pushed me on the team paper.
Right.
But there are schools. The George Herrera guy in Oakland, I could come from that school of PR.
Oh, that's the school that you came from. Absolutely.
The pot-smoking buddies and stuff.
The disastrous side, yes. And Eric, were you a stand-up comic at the time? Or
I was covering TV the team.
Production?
I was covering the team for television.
Yeah, I remember somebody stole his camera.
I have no
Jimmy Hitchcock.
Formal artistic training.
I think we all were a little surprised. First of all, we all thought the season was over. I don't think anybody's getting made fun of here. We all thought we were doomed. But once Brady started playing well, there were signs that Brady was pretty good. We all were very encouraged coming out of that summer. Brady looked really, really good in training camp that year, and we all liked him. We all liked him immediately as a rookie. He was the subject of our rookie diary. Shane and I talked to him every day of his rookie, before he ever played, when he was the fourth-string quarterback.
Right.
We really liked him. We liked Brady a lot. Did any of us think that he was going to be this? No.
No.
No. And if the Patriots knew, he'd have been playing. And the Patriots have said many times, as I mentioned earlier in the show, that they had no intentions of making a switch until Drew got hurt. Now, in terms of the controversy, that was during the season. It was after the Rams game that made them 5-5. It was a Sunday night game here in Foxborough. After that game, that was the first game Bledsoe was back. He took some reps in practice that week. And then they moved it from that and said that Brady is the quarterback moving forward.
For the foreseeable future. Yep.
And Bledsoe was no longer going to get many reps at all, if any. And that was the controversy.
Would Joe Theismann.
You know, right. And
that was the week. It was Sunday Night Football
Sunday night
with Joe
football.
Theismann.
Joe Theismann was running
the
scout team.
Why aren't you giving this guy a chance to get his job
and
back?
But Joe Theismann had suited up at practice as a Joe
scout,
Kagimic,
scout team
a thing,
quarterback.
Little shtick.
So reps that Drew would have been getting.
It was a bad week for talking about reps and stuff.
So Drew was steadfast in saying, my intention is to be as supportive as I can and to do everything I can to win my job back. Without really getting any opportunity to win his job back because he wasn't getting to play in practice and certainly wasn't going to play barring an injury.
Was that the week he sort of had that tense interview session in front
next
of his locker?
Yes.
And the next question.
And one of the next questions was to me.
Was it?
Yes.
Oh, that must have hurt a little bit, no?
Well, I was trying to give him an opportunity to get his platform.
Next
I said, well, how do you expect?
Jump my butt.
That may have happened too. How do you expect to get your job back? Mm. How do you expect the opportunity to get your job back if.
And he next questioned you?
Reps in practice.
Oh,
next
he was
question.
The original Drew Rosenhaus.
Next
but,
question.
But it's a tough question to answer, let's face it.
It is.
You know?
He was trying, and I know he gets a
I
lot
I would have
of,
gone, good question.
He gets a lot of criticism.
Good question.
He gets a lot of criticism because a lot of people, you know, now again, this is one of those things in retrospect, now everybody knew that Brady was going to be this. And you talk to a lot of people, Felger tells you,
right.
I saw it right away.
Oh, God.
Which is a load of crap.
You know,
are you going to swear?
I swear to God. I mean,
close.
Look,
give me a break.
I'm not the most attentive person in the world. But I go to train. I'm at training camp.
What'd
a lot.
You say?
I go to a lot of the practices.
At the time, you used to go to every practice,
right.
too. I'll give you credit for that.
And, you know, Brady was okay.
It was a little backhanded.
Brady was okay, and I remember them saying, you know, he's really jumped ahead, you know, in his second year. But there's no way that I thought he was going to just beat out Bledsoe. No way.
He played very, very well that summer. No question. And what we saw that summer was obviously not a result of who he was playing with. Sometimes you get deceived. He was playing better. We saw it, and then Bill confirmed what we thought we were seeing at the end of training camp by saying, Brady is my number two. He outplayed Damon Heward, who they, as Andy said, they brought in specifically to be a veteran backup.
Damon Heward's won football games in the NFL.
And paid.
Yeah, they paid him to be
Drew's
backup.
Million bucks that,
yes, he did.
They got rid of John Freeze, and they brought in Damon Heward that year. And that was, I don't want to say a huge move, but it was a fairly substantial move for them. Brady played great heading up, but there was no controversy. When they were both healthy in the playoffs, Brady got hurt.
In Pittsburgh.
That's why Drew played. Once Brady was deemed healthy enough to play the Super Bowl, there was really no controversy.
Up until Thursday of the Super Bowl week, there was a lot of sports talk radio.
Yes.
Who will he name as the starter?
Yes, because they didn't know if Brady was healthy.
Right.
But once it was deemed that Brady was healthy, there was no controversy.
Yeah.
Brady was playing the Super Bowl.
But there was also...
I thought that, and I was the biggest Drew Bledsoe supporter this town has ever seen.
And I know you said it should be Brady.
As long as he's healthy.
Right.
And once they went to practice on that Wednesday, and we got our first injury report, and Brady fully participated in practice, it wasn't done the same way then, but Peter King,
the pool reporter,
as he often tells you, was the pool reporter back then, and he said that he took part in the entire practice. End of story. There was no more debate. Brady was playing the Super Bowl.
Once that,
Drew was upset, obviously. He wanted to play.
Yeah, once that came out, it was Brady and
but that
never
was it.
No looking
the
back.
The controversy took place after that Rams game heading into New Orleans where people were like, well, Drew's healthy now. You know, yeah, this kid's been pretty good in relief of Bledsoe. They're 5-5. They're probably not going anywhere. Drew should get his job back. You don't lose your job to injury, that whole cliche, which I don't agree with, by the way.
Yeah, but I also think that...
That was when that controversy was in full...
But most people...
And I was on the Drew side on that.
But most people at that time were saying, you know, let's stick with the kid. They're doing okay.
I think there was as many people on the other side.
You think so?
I think there were a lot.
I didn't get that sense.
I think it wasn't... Fred, I'll tell you right now, and Andy will back this up for me, because, as I said, Andy was in media relations, and so he was on the field for the entire game. The famous snowball game that closed... the old Foxborough Stadium. For 3.5 quarters, the Patriots offense did nothing.
And there were calls.
And they were cascading boos down upon the Patriots.
Not just boos, though.
And they
there
wanted
were calls by name.
Drew.
I mean, I was standing behind the bench, however many people you can hear.
That was Mac Bledsoe.
No, there were calls from
well,
the front row
of them then.
The front row type people, you know, the first 10, 20 rows you can hear, whatever. Yeah. There were calls for Drew.
Really?
Okay. I mean, I know that's a small sampling of people that I can actually hear.
Oh, and it was happening in front of them.
They
had three points.
No, but they have great seats. You
yes.
think these are your hardcore fans at Foxborough. You know, they've had these seats a long time.
It wasn't known for sure until he did what he did in the Super Bowl on the last drive.
Right.
That's when they said,
it wasn't
this
even
guy,
really for sure then.
I'm saying the last drive.
Because
he didn't have a great game.
Even that drive, I'm not sure everybody thought, okay, this is next three-time Super Bowl winner.
No, yes.
And he's going to win the league MVP, and he's going to be this and that.
But I think that nobody at that point realistically could say, yeah, the kid won the Super Bowl, but you got to go back to Drew.
No, nobody was saying that.
They weren't looking
at
Drew.
No, but I think some
know,
people might have thought Mark Rippon or one of these guys
did they know
had a great
he was
year won
be
a Super Bowl, but never wasn't a 10-year stud.
Yeah. Did they know he was going to be what he was? No.
Well, I think they started to. That's where I give them credit. I think as he played in the organization, I think they realized this is the guy, and more importantly, the type of guy.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Maybe not, you know, can throw 50 touchdowns or can win the MVP, all that stuff, but this is the type of guy we
much
want
better.
As our quarterback.
And you know, much better for
them. When you look back in retrospect, and if everybody was honest, particularly Bill Belichick in talking about this, he'll never say this, but I'll bet you, from a personality standpoint, he preferred Brady.
I'm sure.
His personality, you know, especially
different.
At that time. Now maybe, you know, Brady isn't
maybe not
when it comes to film work and being here, you know, all day and all night, he's not the same as he was then. But back then, Belichick probably because, you know, I just feel more comfortable with Brady than I do. Bledsoe was here before I got
right.
here.
I think,
well, that's
you know,
the biggest
you know,
issue. I think if Bill came now,
he's not my guy.
And
I think
Brady
right.
was entrenched, they might butt heads.
Right. Yeah.
He might see him in Costa Rica and say, what's this guy doing
exactly.
in Costa Rica?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I think that's a perfect example, perfect analogy because knowing what I know about Bill, I don't think Bill likes what Brady does in the offseason now the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah. He never say it.
And this is
yeah.
when he came here. It was at this stage of Brady's career. That's where Bledsoe was when
right.
Belichick yeah. got
right.
here.
Go to Montana.
I find it hard to believe that Bledsoe spent no time here in 93 and 94
right.
and 95. You know, eventually mm-hmm. he did. Now,
especially after
he
signed a $100 million
was
contract.
He ever Brady before everybody starts beating me up? No, he was never Brady. He never achieved anywhere near
right.
the heights that Brady did.
And
never.
And wasn't probably, you know, when Brady, comparing Brady's work ethic early to Bledsoe, probably Brady exceeded him. He was probably more enthusiastic.
He had
Bledsoe
to be, or he would have been on the street selling insurance, as he said.
Bledsoe was in Washington State, or where'd he go?
Washington State.
I mean, he was the guy. There was no competition there. He was the
number one
overall draft
pick.
Right. But he didn't have a chip on his shoulder when he came into the NFL.
He
always had it, and he always figured he would have it. You know?
But he had to do the same thing at Washington State that Brady had to do at Michigan. He had to go there and win the starting quarterback job.
No, I understand. But once he had it, there was never any questioning him.
Well,
you know?
No.
And there was
there
never,
have been.
You know, and he didn't have the chip on his shoulder that Brady had, that like, I have to prove
coming
something.
Into the league, I agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
But if you just look at it on paper without the specifics involved of the people and their careers, if you said there's just one quarterback who's a veteran, and in the offseason he leaves and he goes to his ranch in Montana and spends time with his family. And there's this other guy in the offseason leaves. He spends 6 weeks in Hollywood, another 5 weeks in Costa Rica. I mean, on paper, because people criticize Drew a lot. I think on paper, you'd pick the ranch. You'd say, okay, the guy just needs to recharge his batteries and unwind.
Right.
So I think there's something to be said where if Bill came in right now, he would not be in love with what Tom Brady does.
That's
and
my
how
point.
He's
probably
and
not.
And that's what, yeah. when you said that, that's so, I wholeheartedly agree with
somebody
that.
Could come in and their guy would not be Tom Brady.
Right. 508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Chris with a TIAN is on it. Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. What's up?
What's up, Christian?
Well, it's hard to believe talking about that. It seems like yesterday, but more than 10 years ago, almost 10 years ago,
yeah.
all that went
it's
down.
A lot of things have happened since then.
They sure have, yeah. Pretty crazy. Couple of things. That push up show last week was phenomenal. It's incredible. I got to replay it like 5 times and laughed through the last 5-10 minutes of it. It's hilarious. And I got a draft question for you guys. What are the chances that they take both the 17th and the 28th pick, and then in day two, round two, they trade that 33rd pick and move around and do what they have to do? I mean, is there any.
That they trade all three picks? Is that what you're saying?
No, that they trade that 33rd pick and then, you know, kind of make all their moves the second day. You know, maybe they've targeted two guys and hopefully the way the board falls that they'll be able to get them.
Yeah, I think that right now, if you had to say what pick is most likely to not be chosen where it is, I'd say 33. Because that's going to be highly coveted by other teams. You think?
Mm.
Yeah. That's what they tell us.
I think the 28 will be just as highly coveted because I think – maybe before that first round ends, some teams might say, I don't want everybody to have a chance to evaluate it. I want to make the move now before everybody else.
And you don't
want
to have to bid. I mean, you know other people might be bidding. If I swoop in now at 28, I'll get my guy. Okay, maybe he's a couple spots early, whatever, but I'll get my guy and I'll avoid the trade bid war overnight and through the next day. The only issue is we already know that the Patriots supposedly have shopped the 28th pick with the story out of San Diego and the chatter. There, so, but I think it's plausible that they could make all those picks or make none of those picks, trade up. I
would say nothing's implausible except for drafting a safety or a quarterback at 17.
And if they do trade up, say they package those and they do trade up, who would be the guy that you would target? Would it be a
Quinn?
Would it be a Von Miller? Would it be a?
I think it would have to be.
Well, it depends how high you go. I mean, Von Miller people love, but
that type of player. I mean, an edge pass rusher.
Are you going to go to three? Or I mean, a lot of people think he could be a top three,
three to five. In order to get him, you're probably saying we're not going to have a pick in the first or second round, maybe.
Well, depending on what
you
do.
Are you guys big on Von Miller or no? It doesn't seem like you are.
I'm not as in love with him. I mean,
I like him.
Nolan Naraki said best pass rusher since used Lawrence Taylor in the same sentence. And
wow.
I don't really see that.
I mean, if
like
Quinn's
him.
Not available and he is, I would take Miller.
Oh, yeah.
But given the choice, I would take
Quinn. And if I were already at three, I might be considering Miller. But to trade all the way up to, like, three to get him, I'm not all in on
that.
And finally, what am I doing being taken to 25 yesterday?
Hey, we don't make the drafts. We just read them.
We just read them.
Hey, I'm scheme diverse. I can play with my hand in the dirt. I can play standing up.
Hey, where did Clay Matthews go?
I got good jams on the line. I got good fluid hips. I can play the 3, 5, 7, and 9 technique.
Well, see, now you got a chip on your shoulder like Brady, and you can cry about the day you went 25th.
You just beat out Bledsoe.
Listen, I love Brady, and the documentary was great, but the crying, I couldn't. That was just a little bit too much, I think.
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, I love him, but come on. Yeah.
Okay.
Are you saying it's not okay for any man to cry?
No, you can cry, but, you know.
Because Andy's a crier.
You're a multi-zillionaire, and you're married to one of the hardest women on the planet. There should have been tears of joy.
Well, I think that we talked about this. I think that if you look at it, he started crying not when he was talking about not being drafted in the weight. He started crying when he started thinking about his parents back then. And so there might have been something. Maybe they were crying back then, and maybe he – you know, I think it was when he was thinking about them that he started crying and the support that they gave
him.
Yeah,
so, I give him the benefit of the doubt for that reason, too.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, maybe they were having a conversation about his future and is this it? Am I really ever going to play football? Maybe. Okay. But still.
Yeah. But to cry, I can see crying about it then.
Right.
To work that up 10, 11 years later.
Well, maybe they unlocked
something. Yeah, maybe, you know, it's a personal thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I can buy lunch next week if you don't have anybody. Let me know.
God bless you.
Next Thursday.
Pencil you in.
You just moved up to 24.
I got him in the
one
top
spot.
20.
That's great.
I got him in the top 20.
Bye,
I got him in the top 10.
JC writes, and we were talking about Brandon Merriweather and safeties, and he says, everybody agrees Merriweather isn't the greatest thing since sliced bread, but if you watch the tapes of safeties coming out, he starts to look pretty good. I visited a bunch of teams' forums and asked what they would think about taking Merriweather and Butler for a third this year and a third next year. Without exception, they all said they'd do it but thought that Belichick wouldn't. With Patricia coaching the secondary, do you think there's a chance that he could either get Page or Brown to take over Merriweather's spot?
Yeah, I think they like Page.
I think Page was on the verge of taking over Merriweather's spot last year when he got hurt.
And, yeah, he was sort of ahead of him on the depth chart. I think they like Page. I don't think they would be opposed to a Chung Page secondary.
Boy, and they liked Barrett enough to re-sign him.
Right.
They kept him on IR all year, and then they re-signed him to, I don't remember how long the deal was, but they re-signed him this offseason.
Right.
So I don't know what he's done to prove that, but.
Yeah, I don't know that Matt Patricia needs to do all that much to Page. I mean, I think Page proved to them that he's a fit in the system for what they want him to do. Fred's reading his phone.
Fred's
so I'll keep talking. You know, Barrett, as Eric said, is a guy they like so much they kept him even though he was injured. And Sergio Brown obviously came from Notre Dame with Corwin Brown. And Corwin Brown's no longer with us, but I don't
read
too
Brown
much
still
into
is.
That. But Sergio Brown is.
And they re-signed him.
Teams.
They actually re-signed
him
for an extension.
Okay, Fred's off the phone now, so he'll read an email.
Let's see.
Vincent Brown once played linebacker. Vincent Brown's a wide receiver in this year's draft as well.
Not the same Vincent Brown.
Different Vincent Brown. Doesn't have quite the upper body build.
He doesn't have muscles in his neck.
None?
Well, not like Vincent Brown.
He's like Merton Hanks, but even worse.
Brian the Fox in New Mexico writes in.
Now, can you do Brian the Fox? I thought he was just going to the Fox.
I don't know. He says, thanks to Josh and Waterloo for his support, but I'm not sure what listeners can say that is worse than Andy saying he thought I was a dirty old man.
I said that.
When did you say that?
I don't know.
Andy,
you say a lot of freaking things.
You don't remember.
I've always been a staunch defender of Andy Hart, but I've got to say his delivery makes those barbs sting. Then again, I am dirty, and Andy is older than me, so I shrugged that off and moved on to the next show. But you guys weren't finished making sure I have thick enough skin to listen to PFW in progress. You see, I am a redhead.
Oh, so you're not a quarterback.
so you can't play
quarterback. Play
quarterback.
That's
okay.
Right?
How many great athletes are you supposed to have when you make up 1% of the world's population? Why don't you make rules about Amish or Native American quarterbacks while you're at it? It's not a bad
give Andy time.
I could see the wheels.
Oh, yeah, the wheels were spinning when he said 1%. And then I said, well, Africa, you can pretty much eliminate that continent with redheads.
It's not a bad list of athletes we redheads put forward. Sean White, Mark McGwire, and the man who made football America's cash cow, Red Grange. Of course, we also are responsible for Brian Adams, Ronald McDonald, and Carrot Top. So I guess we deserve being banned from the NFL quarterback ranks. And
Todd Marinovich, a Carrot Top one.
On to the good stuff. I was hoping you guys would talk a little about Lee Bodden. Seems like the caliber of the Patriots' 2011 defense will be extremely dependent on Bodden being a very good player coming off injury. I remember him being just okay in 09, though I was jaded since I spent 09 in shell shock after losing Samuel and didn't see enough of his Browns/Lions days to pass judgment. How confident are you in his abilities the next year opposite McCurdy? Looking forward to the next issue of PFW. Have a good one.
I'm confident in Bodden. I think he's a good player. I don't think he's great.
Is a lot dependent on him? I mean,
I think he'll be better with him on the field.
A lot's dependent on him in that they gave him a lot of money and they expect him to be better than average.
That's a fair point.
But if he's better than Arrington, you got by on the cheap with a corner last year, starting corner with Kyle Arrington.
Right.
I agree with
you're paying a little bit more, but if you get a lift in play.
But is the ceiling higher on Arrington?
No.
Or Bodden?
Bodden.
Oh, absolutely. The ceiling?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Arrington is a scrappy, overachieving player.
Right. You may have seen the ceiling.
You
may not have seen the floor
took
yet.
Took the words right out of my mouth. You've seen the ceiling. I bet you when they were evaluating a guy like that as an undrafted free agent,
he was, but they got him from another
practice
team.
Squad
street
or
practice squad
or waiver wire type
guy. I don't mean the Patriots of that. I'm talking about NFL people.
Yeah.
I don't think that they necessarily said, oh, yeah, by year two, he'll be a starting cornerback.
Right.
I don't think that's where they envisioned him.
No.
But I agree with Andy's point that I don't think there's any more pressure on Bodden, you know, the defense relying solely on this. I think they figured to be better because he's a better player than played that spot last year. But I think if he has a subpar year, you know, and the defense doesn't improve, I don't think it's a house of cards that fell down because Lee Bodden fell.
No, the house of cards is your second-year corner. If Devin McCourty is not as good,
right? Well,
is your house of cards because he made a lot of big plays for this team and was, you know, those turnovers were key. And if he can't play on a high level, now you're in trouble unless you get pass rush and everything else gets better.
Yeah, and I guess I can see what the emailer's point was because you would think that a lot of quarterbacks would probably be more cognizant of McCourty now and less likely to target him, and they might say, well, you know what? My deep ball's not going to go to McCourty. I've seen that play before. He can make that one. I'm going to go after Bodden a little bit more.
Right.
And
but
Bodden
I'd rather they go after Bodden than Arrington.
Right, but if Bodden doesn't hold up, is this guy's point, I think, does the defense take, because now you're not getting the big plays from McCourty because they're not giving him as many opportunities, and they're succeeding if he doesn't play well, going at somebody else.
But I don't think that's a Bodden issue. I think that's a...
I don't either, but I think that's what the point is.
Because
I'd much rather
they throw at Bodden than Arrington. I think Bodden will come up with more plays.
Sam from Brighton writes in, hey guys, you have a lot of Sam emailers, so I will now go by my nickname, Super Fat. Okay, I have a draft trade...
Is that with a P? P-H?
Paul from Peabody?
F-A-T. I have a draft trade question for
that's
you.
Just poor
if you
me.
Were the Patriots, which of these two trade offers would you accept? Offer one, your 33rd pick for the Bills' first-round pick next year. Offer two, your 33rd pick for the Steelers' first-round pick next year, and a third this year.
I would take the Bills.
I would take the Bills. I might be taking Andrew Luck next year.
Right.
I'll take the Bills.
Yep, I take the Bills. So there you go, Super Fat. Phone ringing off the hook in there. No one answering it, but... let's see. Jonas from Durham says, I had a dream about
an awesome dream
about the draft a few days ago. Bill Belichick traded himself for 2/4, 2/5, and a 6th next year. I guess it was the logical opposite of the trade that brought him to New England. What a nightmare. Also, have any of you considered that Fred is what Andy will look like and act like in 25 years? Just a thought. Well, I can't.
I don't see Andy becoming a homer.
Or a nice guy.
Or fat
or
shoulders.
That either, right, yeah.
So. Who said you're a nice guy?
Compared to you? I was about to swear.
Say an effing saint.
I was about to use Mother Teresa in a swear in the same sentence.
I don't think you're quite as nice as you think you are.
Compared to you.
Yeah, you're not really that nice.
Compared to you, Son of Sam is a nice guy.
Are you aware of your reputation around here?
Do I have a bad reputation?
I don't know that it's bad, but I don't think they think of you as Mother Teresa.
Who's they?
They, general. Big they.
Outside this
room.
Oh,
I disagree with that. I think he's probably more highly thought of outside of this room.
Come on now.
He doesn't even listen. That's even when you're making fun of him, he doesn't listen to you.
I'm on your side, Frank.
I heard you.
Well, yes. I
heard yes.
I immediately thought when that subject came up of you talking about the one-legged wrestler. I mean, I don't think your Mother Teresa.
I never said I could beat him. I just said I had a leg up on him. That's all.
There you go.
You just said that.
Andy, did you not like your sandwich today? Usually your first one does.
Yeah,
what's
the matter
with
you?
What's
going
on? You didn't even eat half your sandwich.
Not feeling so good.
Oh, boy. Here we go. Yeah. No? Stomach?
It's not affecting his mouth, though.
His mouth is still moving fast.
Nice. I had to go to the periodontist yesterday.
For gum problems?
Deep scaling on my teeth.
Why, you're not brushing enough?
I don't floss well enough.
That's what they always tell me. Great teeth, floss more.
Yeah, so they just did the right side, and they fill you up with Novocaine, and then she goes at it. I mean, I mean, she's elbow deep.
Good for you. Good for you.
Yeah.
I could always eat your salad.
You know, it's... periodontist. That night, my jaw was really like hurting.
What does she look like?
Gum doctor.
She's from North Providence.
Get out.
Yeah, she lives in North Providence.
Really?
Yep.
Where do you go? She's the doctor?
No, she's just the cleaner.
And she said, why? Do you know anybody from North Providence? Fred said, no.
No one you'd be interested in.
508-543-7484.
Was she hot? You didn't say.
No.
Oh, close to hot? Anything?
She's old. Older.
Oh.
Big tatas?
No. Older than you?
Actually, she was
too old for the earth?
Tiny little thing. She's just tiny.
How old?
I should say she's like in her 50s.
Yeah. Isn't that old. What you are?
Yeah, he makes it sound like.
Well, she ancient.
She'd be ancient.
508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Don in California is on the phone. Hey, Don.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Oh,
what's
up, Don? Talking draft and everything else.
In women.
I see. I got drafted yesterday, number 27. I appreciate that.
That was good, huh?
Yeah.
Everybody's very proud of their draft status.
Yeah.
Got a couple of draft questions
for
you, Mr. Andy Hart.
What's up?
What's up?
Eric's here too. You know.
You just
slid down the list, my friend.
My friend.
No, man. Andy is my favorite, though. Eric, you cool, too, man. Andy is my favorite, though.
Uh-huh. Yeah, nice try to save.
Two questions for you, though, fellas. What's your take on the Patriots maybe drafting Auden Smith at 17?
I think there's a chance.
Yeah, especially if Quinn's not there, if Kerrigan's not there.
That mock we talked about, it's interesting that they passed on him, a scout, which I found interesting to take. In the McShay scouts mock or whatever, where they took Claiborne and then Smith went to the Chargers the very next pick, obviously another 3-4 team. He's a guy with a lot of upside. He's kind of raw. He's only 3 years out of high school, basically. Had the great year 2 years ago, the leg injury. But the thing that keeps sticking in my mind is the fact that Michael Lombardi compared him a little bit, that he thinks he can be a Willie McGinnist. Mm-hmm. I think he's assuming he's going to put on weight. He's going to kind of mature, quote unquote, physically, but he certainly fits the mold of that 6'4", 260, 4'6", 4'7", type guy who is a pass rusher.
I'd be happy with that pick if that's the last resort. If they had to get him, I'd be happy with that pick.
Y'all, when y'all was talking about Claiborne earlier, I think Claiborne is going to be a bust.
Well, I don't know if he'll be a bust.
He looks slow. He looks slow, though.
Well, that's because I think that's – I don't know that he's slow. He is – to me,
what he's asked to do in that system.
A 4-3 defensive lineman.
Yeah.
Yes.
And a bigger one. I don't think – even in that, he's not Dwight Freeney. He's not one of – he's the – I want to say Michael Strahan. It's funny because he's the sack record holder. But a bigger guy that I think will play the run. He'll get you some sacks, get you 6-8 sacks. I think he's a good football player. I think he's a terrible fit for the New England Patriots.
Yeah.
I think we need a pass rusher. That's why I like Auden Smith or Kerrigan if Quinn is gone.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah, I would actually it's funny. Auden Smith is an intriguing guy, but Kerrigan has gone above him for me because of the production and the school and the
hype that he got,
work ethic and all that.
Yeah, I like Auden Smith, but I haven't seen a lot of Kerrigan. Right. That's the thing. you know, I like Alden Smith because I have watched him.
One more question for you. I was looking at some of the running backs on the board. What is your take on Quiz Rogers? Short guy.
It's a good player.
Yeah, he's not bad. He's not a feature back, though.
Right. No. He's a committee guy, an athlete, a speedster type thing, a change of pace. I don't know that I would take him because I don't.
Maybe third, fourth round, you wouldn't take him?
I would consider him. He wouldn't be high on my list. I like some of the other running backs better.
I think he'll be a playmaker, though, Andy. I think he'll be a playmaker.
He is a playmaker.
Yeah,
I agree,
but I also agree with Andy that I wouldn't take him. I think they need an every down back.
More of a traditional ball.
At least with that upside. And he doesn't have that.
Yeah,
upside.
And now if you're taking a guy like that,
right,
you can't also take a committee back
let
in the same draft. I don't think in the same
Kevin Fox has said he doesn't know if he's coming back.
Right.
Danny Woodhead. We don't know if he's going to have the same kind of year he had as
right.
So maybe that is a need.
It might be a need, yeah. But not as big a need as your lead.
As
I think
lead
you
back.
Need somebody to come in here with Benny.
As we've said, there may not be a guy that is that kind of feature back.
No,
in
but
this
DeMarco
draft.
Murray.
Oh, no, there is.
DeMarco Murray can be a third
I
down
like
back.
DeMarco Murray. I think he can
do other stuff too. Whereas, say you hit on, say Woodhead's fine. He is what you thought he was last year. And then you hit on Rogers. I think there's not
enough
overlap.
Yeah, there's not enough.
Whereas
there
if you bring in a Todman or you bring in a Murray, I think they can do other things as well as be insurance for. Well, Todman's a bad example because I'm not sure he catches.
I like Murray because Murray can catch the ball out of the backfield.
He's a flat out receiver.
He's a very good receiver,
and that's his dad. Maybe he could be a running back. Maybe he could be a slot receiver. Maybe he can be your third down back. Yeah. There's more things where I don't think Rogers has that versatility.
The name that all three of us like. At the running back spot, who could potentially be the feature back is Kansas State's Daniel Thomas.
Yep.
He's the guy. He's got size. He's got speed. He's got moves.
Yep. I love him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As long as he doesn't fumble.
Freddie, there's a lot of guys that I think could be every down backs.
Okay.
I don't think there is a great franchise, you know, an Adrian Peterson.
No.
But Mark Ingram is. I think Mark Ingram is definitely capable of being somebody's every down back. Mikel LeSure, Daniel Thomas.
Say Mark Ingram?
Yeah, I don't like Mark Ingram, but he's an every down back.
I don't like Mark Ingram either.
But he's an every down back in the NFL. Mikel LeSure, Daniel Thomas, the kid from Virginia Tech, Ryan Williams. These guys are every down backs. I don't know how good they all are.
Yeah.
I don't know how good they're all going to be, but I don't think Jacquizz Rodgers is not an every down back in my mind.
Right.
Okay.
All right, fellas. I just want to let you know I did subscribe to the paper yesterday just to
Excellent.
Let you guys know.
Excellent. Thank you, Don.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Thanks, Don.
All right. You guys enjoy the day.
Thanks, Don. Don in California. Paul in London says, hey, gentlemen, Eric and the superhero that is Ken Walter. Just thought I'd email to say that the first Patriots pick has been made in the PFW in Progress mock draft, and at 17, we selected Alden Smith by a big percentage.
Good pick.
Also, what times will the draft show be on during the draft? I'd like 3-hour shows on Thursday and Friday and a shorter show on Saturday so Fred can let you go home early. Go Pats, trade up for Quinn, take DeMarco Murray and Stanzi at some point in the draft. And if there is a no one down for it already, put me down for lunch just before the draft or after. We need you guys having your energy. Well, as far as the schedule for the draft, we're going to start at 6 o'clock on Thursday and do the whole night, right? We're doing the whole first
8
round.
O'clock.
8 o'clock on Thursday.
That's when the draft starts.
The draft starts at
Thursday
8.
Thursday night.
Why do I keep thinking 6?
I don't know, but you keep telling people that, and I'm afraid they're going to be listening.
Okay.
The wrong
sleep
time.
Over
Friday
night
is 6, and that would be like a 5 and a half
hour
show.
We're going to start at 8 o'clock on Thursday and go right through the first round.
Guess who's bitching already?
Well, if I have to be here at 4 a.m. the next day, I might as well just sleep here. I'll sleep right here in the booth.
Okay, good.
We have to be here at 4 a.m.
I'll bring you a pillow,
okay? We'll have you.
So we're going to do the whole first round on air. Then on Friday.
That's the 6 p.m.
We're going to start at 6 o'clock and go 3 hours.
On air.
6 to 9, right?
Correct.
And then on Saturday, it starts at noon, but we're going to start at 2 and go for 2 hours from 2 to 4.
Sure.
So Thursday, whole first round. Whenever it starts. Friday.
8. Why are you leaving this open-ended?
Friday.
You're confusing the listeners. We're trying to maximize our listeners, you're confusing them.
When the first round starts on Thursday, we're going to start and keep going until it's over. On Friday, what time are we starting?
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock for 3 hours till 9 Eastern time.
Eastern time.
Eastern time. And on Saturday, 2 to 4 Eastern time. So that's 8 hours of PFW in progress.
Minimum, because there'll probably be a little bit extra on Thursday.
Special draft, at least
very
five
extra
of
which will be action-packed. I can't promise all eight, but...
Well, it'll be
hours. I was going minutes.
It'll be action-packed until Quinn goes, and then Andy will check out. And,
that's not true.
Jim, when you bought the five-hour energies last year?
I did.
There's plenty to keep me entertained in this draft. A lot of picks, a lot of trades, a lot of positions of need and interest, a lot of players available at those positions. I'll go deep.
Maybe we can bring some chronic to keep us awake.
I'm sorry. I'm not
That'll put
that.
You to sleep.
We already had one emailer, offering to bring it to us.
Fishbowl to press the radio booth.
That'd be funny. What's
might
that
make it smell better.
What's that smell coming out of the PFW booth?
No, I don't.
Oh, my God.
Paul's got like, you know.
He acts like he came from the bad streets of Everett, and he's never heard like any drug reference ever.
Paul's got like 10 candy bars
in front
of him.
I didn't waste their time with
marijuana.
15
Diet Pepsis.
Well, he already does. But
wait, what did you say?
I said it'd be funny if somebody said, what's that smell coming out with? Out of the PFW booth, and they open it up, and you're got like a ton of candy bars in front of you.
His eyes are all bloodshot.
Again,
I missed two.
That happens anyway.
Can I get back to the fishbowl?
Okay,
sure. What the kids do in the cars
when you smoke up the car so you can't breathe, and everybody else in the car gets high, even though they're not smoking.
Right. Well, that makes sense. I've never been a part of that, so
nor
that
have
one.
I.
That one makes sense.
How did you keep yourself?
I don't know how Paul covers the NFL. He's never been a part of an NFL game, right. And yet he can watch it and know what's going on in the game.
Oh, shut up.
Speaking of fishbowls, Andy. Andy, you ever been to a tavern in the square in Brighton and they serve the drinks out of an actual fishbowl?
No.
It's pretty interesting.
Now, Paul,
an actual fishbowl,
so
there's fish in it?
How did you insulate yourself
from all this?
No, but I heard
you can get,
this,
if you order a special
stuff.
One, you can get the fish in it.
I don't know.
Did you just run the other way?
I don't think I was all that insulated.
You weren't?
You are now.
He was more into drinking than smoking, Freddie.
Yeah, I mean, I got caught drinking when I was, like, in the eighth grade. I don't think I was by any means a choir boy.
All right.
Did My mother was convinced I was an alcoholic.
Were you ever offered drugs?
And?
Still is. Oh, I mean, absolutely.
So is your wife when she shuts you up.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
Absolutely offered drugs.
We were going to go drink.
It was an incident at the junior prom.
Right.
Yeah, everybody was doing lines in the bathroom.
Oh.
And I walked in, and they were like, they wanted me to do it. And
it's
I was
Paul.
Like, and I was like, yeah, come on, just do one. Yeah, no, that's not for me. And they were all like really, really pressing. And I was like, listen, I just don't want to do it. I'm not going to do it. So no matter what you do.
Right.
And like there was one guy who just kept saying, yeah, you got to make him do it. You got to make him do it. And finally I just said, I'm going to end up dumping it in the sink and no one will do it.
Wow!
If you make me do it, I'm going to beat you until you stop breathing.
And when it came,
super cop.
And when it came time, no, I wasn't going to tell on him. But that's the worst thing you can be in Everett.
Oh yeah,
so
snitch.
Narc,
snitch.
So
you know what a narc is, Paul?
Yes.
He says it like it's obvious.
That is obvious.
Winning. You starting to get the concept now?
Thanks for that scouting report, by the way. Nashville 4-1.
Oh, sorry. It was one or the other.
And I think when it came down, the guy was going to lose money. He was like, okay, let him go. I mean, they were all my friends.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it might not sound like they'll right. be my friends.
They wanted to hang around with
right.
Paul.
Yeah.
So right. I wasn't, like, insulated from this. I just didn't really have any interest in drugs. I drank all the time.
Yeah. I thought of you this morning watching SportsCenter,
and as
Center,
I said
Paul.
Last week, what was I doing?
I think
I was hanging with the ladies.
I thought Stan Verrett was drunk during SportsCenter this morning because he was promoting the quarterback year of the quarterback thing. They were going to have a tie-in with the sports science program that they do. And he said, so make sure you tune into that. It's all about quarterbacks and science.
And I'm sure that you did think he was drunk because of that.
Sam from Birmingham, England, says, following on the train of thought about Brady's potential successor, I have a question. Say we trade the 33rd pick this year for a first next year, and it turns out to be the number one pick in the 2012 draft. Regardless of the worries about keeping a player on the bench for several years, would it ultimately be in the Patriots' best interest to pick Luck? I would appreciate your thoughts on the matter. We talked
Listen
about
to the
that
beginning,
at the
beginning
of the
podcast.
Show.
That's a great question. We should set that one up for a future debate.
You know,
Friday.
And I admitted I'd have to really seriously think about that. Because if you really think Luck is one of those guys, they don't come around that often. Consensus overall number one pick. You have the chance to do it.
See, I disagree with that. I think more often than not, there's a consensus overall
You're
number one quarterback every draft. There isn't one really in this draft.
My show.
Sound like a horse.
Sam Bradford was the consensus overall number one quarterback last year. And this generally is one. Now, the question is Andrew Luck head and shoulders better than the last 10 consensus overall number ones. So once in a generation quarterback. I don't think he is, but maybe some people do.
Well, if you know what, if he does again this year what he did last year with a new quarterback, I mean with a new coach, perhaps a new system, I think you might have to consider that he could be.
I don't think he is. I don't think he has those I don't think he has that kind of skill.
He might not. We'll see.
But I think he is a very good player. To me, it would all hinge on, I'm with Andy generally. I would trade the pick. But I might change that opinion next year come draft time if Brady shows signs of slipping.
Right. Okay. Brent in Illinois, I have come to the conclusion that Andy's big head is needed to hold a huge ego. Anyone who disagrees with him is an idiot or stupid.
No question.
Anything that is said about him is not funny. Fred, please read in your Andy voice, please. Not funny. It's just not funny, not funny. Mr.
Ross
Bighead,
Perot over here.
Mr. Bighead covers his tracks better than anyone. Nolan Nowacki is now his pal. I bet because he's hedging his bets on Quinn now.
No,
I have to say, Eric
pal.
Used to be the annoying one, but now Andy, talking over everyone and talking like his every word is gold, has gotten over annoying. So, Eric, you are moving up in the world.
Who
good.
Is this?
Brent in Illinois.
Going when down. Someone's talking, you have to I shut didn't. Up.
He's shooting. Brent in Illinois shooting up a draft board.
Yeah, sure
on to Brady and Bledsoe.
Exactly.
Let's ask Paul and Eric, who cares what Big Head really thinks. when was Belichick, head coach of the New England Patriots, being more truthful? During the preseason when he said Bledsoe was better, or when interviewed for Brady 6 saying Brady outplayed Bledsoe in the preseason?
That's a good question.
No, my point on that was not at the time, in the 2001 preseason. It was 2004, 2005 when I sat – no, 2004 because Charlie was still here. And I asked when the move would have been made, and they said that Bill and I, you know, they both said separately that we may never have made the move. There was no indication that he had earned playing time. It wasn't like he was nipping at the heels. Now, that's 4 years later after he's won two Super Bowls and heading into a season in which he's going to win his third. So I don't see where the protection of Bledsoe comes in. Now, at the time, in 2001, yeah. Bledsoe's your starting quarterback. You don't say, well, really, the backup outplayed him, but we're going to go with Bledsoe. Yeah,
well,
I understand that. You can't
say
that.
No, it's two different things, though.
You
can outplay a guy in a preseason.
In a preseason.
But you can't
and
say
have
it
zero
publicly.
Chance. No. But you can outplay him in a preseason. It has zero effect on the immediate future or even long-term future.
Right, because, I mean.
It happens all the time.
Yeah.
I don't think the coach can say that in those terms.
No, he won't.
Right.
But my
so
point
I'm
is,
agreeing with you
when
guys
he says
about that.
Now that Brady outplayed him in that preseason, I think it can be fact.
So you
that
words,
doesn't
you're
mean
they
that's... were going to replace him or not replace him. Irrelevant.
Okay.
Just
right. you
would
in
you
that
say,
short
right.
four-game span where they each played, total of seven quarters.
Right.
Brady was better in those seven quarters.
Right.
Than
you're true.
I see what you're saying.
As a head coach, you're not going to create a quarterback controversy if you don't have to.
No, but I'm not even talking.
No,
about
he's just saying.
I'm just saying the fact may be
right,
and the fact may be that Chris Redman had a better preseason last year than Matt Ryan, but that's irrelevant to anything else. That's just a fact based on a four-game sampling of action.
For example,
I see what you're saying. I don't necessarily
like when Matt Hasselbeck was Brett Favre's backup in Green Bay. There were a couple of preseasons where Matt Hasselbeck looked tremendous, which is why he ended up signing with Seattle and becoming a starter there. Those preseasons, he probably outplayed Brett Favre because
right.
Favre played.
Oh, Michael
two or three,
Bishop had a better preseason than Drew Bledsoe.
Maybe.
When?
He had those great games where he came back.
When he threw to Sean Morey?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, it was just...
Rambling
Row. It was preseason.
Throwing Hail Marys.
Castle building. It's PFW covers are made for backup quarterbacks.
I don't necessarily look at it the same way, but I see and I understand Andy and Eric's point.
Gabe writes in, since everyone is telling stories, I actually have a pretty funny story that just happened this morning. So I go to the University of Arizona, and
this morning I
went to a class that I never go to. Midway,
this Arizona continues to rise up the ranks. Of
I have that dream
all
the time.
Institutions,
you have that dream.
Yes, I do.
When you're in college,
class,
and
yes.
it's like the last day of the semester, and you
haven't studied for anything.
It's the midterm
or the
final, and you haven't been to class all year.
It's a recurring dream.
Why? Why is that?
Because I was a procrastinator in college.
Unresolved issues.
We're all the same.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But we all know about Eric's laments in his educational past.
Midway through the class, a professor says, talk to the person next to you about the topic of the class. So I introduce myself to this guy, and he tells me his name. I kid you not, His name was Andy Hart. I start laughing and say, you have the same name as this guy from a football radio show I listen to. This was his response. Not that douchebag from PFW in Prague.
Oh, no!
It was so funny. Turns out his uncle is a Patriots fan and listens to you guys. It's funny how Andy's doucheness travels the world. Keep up the good work. Go Pats.
Oh, wait. This is a real story?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh. P.S. Haven't forgot about lunch. I owe you guys one. Oh, and Ken Walter should be number one because the guy doesn't miss.
I told you it was a good story.
Wow.
But that's a real, it was a real
story.
That was
a real story. That's not a dream.
Oh, that is just,
yeah. I tell you, that leaves more mark than Brent from Illinois.
That's tremendous.
So,
reputation precedes.
That's just awesome.
That's right. It's awesome. I'm a star.
That's good stuff.
They know me. Patriots Football Weekly.
That douche.
I'm kind of a big deal.
Jim Pack.
You defended me, right? Who was this?
A lot of leather-bound books. Who's this email like, from? They hate me. Countrywide.
They really hate me. Who was that email from?
Gabe.
Gabe.
And he's at Arizona?
Yeah.
With Derek?
I guess so. We have a
coven
of PFW in Progress fans there.
Maybe the other guy was Derek on the other
side. So at least three people on the University of Arizona campus know who I am.
Yeah.
Hey, if you're in college, what better show to listen to, right?
Hmm? Any?
What's my list?
One with girls.
Jim and Walpole says
while
I was
smoking the crumb.
Fred, I was the one who emailed you last year about
Fish
an
bowling.
MMA type program that I enrolled in, which I thought you'd like.
Oh.
To be honest, after seeing you on television, I decided that you should not try the class
oh.
for fear that someone would have to defibrillate you. But wow. after hearing you mop the floor with that roided up preteen, I'm convinced that you would kick ass in our class. No excuses not to come.
Preteen's gonna leave a mark.
It is the off season in a season which may not have an in season. Shoot me an email if you want detail. All right, no, Jim, tell me where and when, and as long as you can handle a beginner senior, I will show up.
Beginner senior. Now he's a senior.
Well, he wants one of those senior coffees from
AARP
McDonald's.
Card.
I'm not one of these guys on
senior
the
coffee senior Sunday.
Yeah, but you want to fight crime.
I'm going.
Does he have a crime fighting bureau?
If I start seeing progress, I'm going to fight crime.
Vigilanteism.
He's like McGruff the crime dog.
He's the goon.
He goes home and he has like this costume that he takes out at late night. He puts a mask on.
Puts
out in the streets of Rentham.
No, it'd be funnier if he doesn't do it late night. If he does it while Nikki's still home and she's like, take that stupid thing off.
Or he comes in here with it on.
Paint some lightning bolts on the side of the car. Just curfew.
Right.
You know you'd be sore as hell, right?
What, if he was fighting crime?
No, if you just started doing MMA.
Well, I'd start slow, you idiot.
Yeah.
But
I'm going to get into the octagon on night one. You know?
But there, even people that just do it, I've talked to, it, like, are sore as hell.
Well, that, no pain,
you get
no
beat
gain.
Up.
No pain,
no pain.
No gain.
No pain. Like, I saw my friend Vic last night, who's a cop. He does it a little bit, just whatever.
Vic is stacked, by the way.
And he came over and he walks in and I go,
I lift things up.
What the hell's wrong
down.
With you? He was black and blue from, like, his chin up through his ear.
Did he get kicked?
No, he said it was just from like the gloves, like the
well, I'm
rubbing.
Not
getting
and
hit
the,
by a glove.
I'm not doing any contact. Wow. This is just training.
What do you mean?
Well, they spar.
Isn't the, yeah, the train
they do
it's part
like,
of the training.
No, but there's MMA style workouts.
That
oh, is that like what Ty Warren's doing?
That doesn't.
He's doing the workout.
That doesn't include fighting.
He should get
I'm with Fred.
You know,
here.
So there's
you
a lot of punching and kicking.
Fred can't go spar.
Oh, so you're just doing Tai Bo with Billy?
Yeah,
Blank.
Exactly. That's what I was just going to say.
I thought you were actually going
to
do
I
it.
I don't know. Fred eventually,
will
I will.
Fred
no,
will be able to
but
come
not
in.
On night one.
Well, if he's fighting crime, he's going to have to get into it with somebody.
Yeah.
Fred,
you
can't do that.
Why not?
Because you can't. You'll get killed.
Shut up.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Shut up, you.
I just want you to remember who your real friends are.
I want to see you coming in with a black eye and a bloody lip. And
yeah, that's what we're all looking for.
He'll be able to, like, move his,
and Robert,
his chest muscles.
Yeah, without jumping
pow,
up and down.
You know, like
pow,
Billy
pow,
Blanks.
Should I put my email address?
You know, getting Paul, into some confrontation.
You and Paul could go together.
It makes you feel alive.
It's like an anger management
I have no interest
thing.
In sparring.
It would help,
MMA
help you let out some
no,
of the hate.
No, what if it was an MMA woman?
Well done, Fred. What if it was Fred? What if you two go together?
I have no interest
in
that.
Oh, my God. The pent-up aggression there? Oh, boy.
On which end?
I mean, clearly I need to work out, but I have no interest in sparring with somebody.
Just all like, I can tell you is if my brother wasn't there, I'd still be on him pounding the shit out of him.
Okay,
he's a swore.
Was that a Dodgers game opening day?
Oh. That was 1996.
That's not funny.
A lot
but
of time
the anger
passed.
Is still there.
A lot of time has
you
passed.
Just swore. And if you went to one of these things and somebody started goading you, next thing you know, you'd be challenging them to get in the ring and, or
all,
the octagon, whatever the hell it is.
I didn't fight the guy that dumped the hurricane on me in the middle of Super Bowl 36. And I was as mad at that guy as I was in.
Yeah,
but
if your brother hadn't
held
you back from the other guy, you would have been beating him till he stopped breathing.
Oh, you just can't exaggerate about anything.
Wish it wasn't a complete stranger. Because I'd get on the next flight to Green Bay and find that SOB.
The two most perfect guys ever.
He has like a whole reel over there. Paul fight.
I was prepared for this argument. That's why I goaded it.
That was a solid rant by me.
It was.
That was a solid rant.
It was. Wish you had sworn more, though. You came close.
Hamza in Toronto, but he's currently in Sydney.
That's a nice Hamza
gets it's like Fred. Fred just says, I'm going to say it.
Hamza's in Sydney, Australia. He says, been a long time since I rode in. After the Jets loss, I was so distraught, I stopped all football-related activity and even stopped listening to PFW for the first time in 5 years.
Oh, that's a crime.
It was like the 07 Super Bowl all over again, except I genuinely hate the Jets and had nothing personal against the Giants. Watching those clowns dance and cartwheel inside Gillette, it made my stomach turn. Anyway, I've been living overseas temporarily and have been completely out of the loop these past months. In fact, I didn't even know how close we are to a lockout till last month. But like a moth drawn to the flame, I wondered late one night, gee, with all this lockout talk, I wonder if the Fighting Fred Kirschers are still in business. Panicking, I tuned in at 4 in the morning here in Sydney and found you guys in the middle of a push-up competition. One of the first things I heard was, he's cheating! And then someone said, Fred's head is turning bright red.
That was
and
me.
Right then I let out a huge sigh of relief because I knew that absolutely nothing had changed and we were going to be all right. It was like coming home again. Anyway, I won't bore you guys asking for off-season updates, as I'm sure it's all on the website. Just want to say thanks for keeping the ship afloat. As a fan, I can tune in out for a few months when things go badly and then sheepishly rejoin the flock when things quiet down. But you guys have to be there through the thick and thin. I just want to say I appreciate it. So that's Hamza in Toronto.
Welcome back.
Now in Sydney.
Welcome back. Permanently or vacationing?
He said temporarily.
He said temporarily. Oh. I wasn't listening. So.
As soon as his stint is over, then he's released.
Freddie, before we get too deep, we got a phone call.
Too deep?
I go deep.
Before we get too deep.
Well, we're almost done.
Dagmar in Miami's on the phone. Hey, Dagmar.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey,
Dagmar.
We're just talking draft and push-ups and MMA.
Yeah, I've been on hold. I never have been able to listen to what you guys been talking on. Pretty interesting. First of all, I'm very happy that I made it through the first round in Giovanni's board. So I may be the 31st pick on his board, but I'm definitely number one Patriots Cuban fan in Miami board. So
okay,
that I can take on me.
We'll start the Cuban Patriots board. You'll be at number one.
That's how we stack it vertically and horizontally. Sure. You got the Cubans.
Hey, talking a little bit more, you know, like football related matters. Taking a look at the track that Belichick has for first round pick on his view on like solid players, what do you think about Alan Bailey from Miami, the defensive lineman / outside linebacker? And the other pick that I would like to, since you guys were talking earlier about running backs, DeLon Carter from Syracuse. I think he fits a little bit in that mold for the future back.
You didn't like DeLon Carter, Andy?
My last point would be to congratulate Eric on his artistic work.
Oh, thanks, my friend.
I've taken a look at his website, and he's got some good stuff there.
Why'd you laugh after you said it? Because I haven't sold any of it yet.
Because I know you guys are going to play that little track that you guys play. I have no formal
artistic training.
There you go.
You just wanted him to play that. That's nice.
No. Come on, Eric. Come on. You know, I appreciate good effort and good results, and you definitely you have a part in that.
All right.
I didn't like DeLon Carter.
DeLon Carter.
I liked Carter.
I think he's just a guy, personally.
As a mid-round guy, I liked him.
I think you have him, or better, in Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. I don't think he has an upside. He's a mid-round guy, which puts him in a pack of guys that I do think have upsides.
Mm.
You know, the Jordan Todmans of the world or DeMarco Murray. I don't think he's in their class, but a lot of people like him. I believe it was Meraki in our paper named him flat out as one of the best values in the middle of the running backs, second-tier running backs.
Yeah, we were joking yesterday that I was a little upset because Andy and I usually have one or two guys that we really vehemently disagree about, and We really haven't had any of
Not
them
a
this
lot.
Year. It
yeah.
seems like every guy he likes, I like, and vice versa.
This is the lone one?
Yeah. Now, I don't this is not my Rashard Mendenhall for Andy. I mean, yeah. I think this is a mid-round guy, third, fourth mm-hmm. round guy. I liked him. I thought he showed some speed. I thought he could get to the, I thought he was a good inside-outside guy. I thought he ran well between the tackles and showed the ability to get the edge. And I thought, the good pad level and all those buzzwords that you hear the scouts say, mm-hmm. I thought he moved the pile forward. Didn't play in a very good offense in Syracuse. I kind of liked him. I liked him a lot more than Andy.
And he mentioned Alan Bailey, the yep. defensive end for Miami. I wish we had more footage of him, but he seemed to be a player for, what is he, 6'5", 285, 290-ish?
6'3", 285.
Okay. He looked like he plays faster than his time would indicate, and he could be a project, kind of raw, but I would take a chance on him later.
I don't love him. I think yeah. he's actually a tweener. Down a size rather than a tweener upper. I don't think he's more Adrian Claiborne than he is.
He's more of a lineman, not an outside yeah. linebacker, but more
I
of a D
maybe
lineman.
As a sub rusher type guy at 290 to rush from the defensive tackle spots and those like two man fronts. He is a former linebacker. He actually went there as a linebacker and bulked up. Supposedly he's ripped. Like when you I don't remember him from the combine, but supposedly he's very impressive physically.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just looking at it like
I thought he lumbered a little bit,
if you want, I think he looks the part and sounds the part more than he plays it. When you watch him, you go, huh.
If you want one of those Mike Wright, Jarvis Green types who are a little bit undersized for the position but are, versatile, good
yeah,
backup
solid type,
and you're concerned about Mike Wright potentially with the lasting effects from the concussion, and you want a guy like that,
trouble is
that's someone you could maybe.
Yeah, he's a 2-3, and I just
that's too high for that. But I like Eric's.
I mean, Green was a fourth round pick, and Wright was undrafted.
Mm-hmm. Right,
this guy's going to go above both of them.
Probably. Outside linebacker, and we talked about this during our podcast. I think when we a while ago, the kid from Nebraska, Pierre Allen.
Yep.
Is a guy.
He's a late-round guy.
In the later rounds, if they somehow get through this draft and don't get the opportunity to address the pass rush, I think you
or
could
even
do
if they get one
yeah,
and want to
and want to add another
depth,
one
because
I think he's a guy. Yeah. He's a guy that's not slated to go in the top couple of rounds. That I think he flashed to me. I think he showed some stuff. I think he can play.
Yeah, I like him. I actually fell in love with him. I was telling Paul. I watched some. I believe it was Senior Bowl practices, and just one of those things where they just close up and left the camera on a drill for 10 minutes. And he flashed a little bit. He goes, yeah, this guy's got a little spark, a little something. And he's slated to be like 6th, 7th round pick, whatever. He's a guy I'd take a chance on.
Okay. Yemi from Texas.
Dagmar.
Do you guys agree with the perception that there is less interest and buzz about the draft this year? Even ESPN is cutting back on the people in New York to cover the draft compared to last year. The whole lockout situation is boring and making fans less interested in the NFL.
I think it might have just the opposite effect in some cases because that's all you have. And you have to look forward to this as like this is the one thing we know this offseason we're going to have, so we better enjoy it.
Well, I think for draft nicks, I don't think there's any less buzz. But I think overall, I was reading on Pro Football Talk and somebody on there was saying that they noticed that their visits, their page views are down. Overall, I think
Pro Football Talk's page views
yeah,
are down.
Pro Football Talk.
I think interest in the, I'm with Eric on this. I think the interest in the draft is high, if not higher, than it's ever been.
Well, Pro Football Talk lost out on free agency.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, half their page views should be
football
down.
Football interest is definitely down, but I think the draft, I'm with Eric on this, and I think it makes a lot of sense that ESPN is not going to, they have people devoted to other things. Mm-hmm. They can't afford to devote all that personnel to the draft. There's people that have been following this nonsense with the negotiations in Washington, now Minnesota.
And they cut back. I thought they just changed it.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I'm.
I
judging,
thought they moved some guys
the
around.
Yeah, they're gonna do Berman, Kuiper, and
one other on the
one
main
guy
set.
On the main set all day on day one, and McShay and the rest of the side set guys are gonna show up. I think they said on Saturday or Sunday.
Yeah, I hadn't read anything about their coverage. I'm just judging off the
email. I thought they had just tweaked it, and I figured maybe they'd send somebody to the PA stuff and move things around.
But I think, and I guess we can only speak for ourselves here with the Patriots, the draft interest has been nonstop since they lost to the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
We have been
Before,
besieged
even.
By emails.
Yeah.
Totally, totally. For every 100 emails we get, 97 of them are draft-related. I mean, can't recall. I mean, right now, this is always the way it is.
Right.
But it's been like this for months.
Yeah, especially because there's no free agency, as Andy said. With
no
the,
free agency. There's nothing else to talk
if
about.
If there
I
were
think
both,
the interest,
no trades, we'd be getting no. free agency questions. We'd be getting draft questions. Yeah. Now it's all draft.
All draft. And I think the interest from the fans in the draft is as high as it's ever been.
All right. Well, that's interesting. And that's the end of this show.
Oh, two more minutes.
Thanks for listening. Email. We got a lot of emails today. I'm sorry
like
I didn't get
one
to
one more hour.
Sorry I didn't get to all of them. But you know, there's always next week.
Nice for the Bruins tonight.
Until then, we'll see you next Tuesday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.